America's heart was ripped open at Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old firebrand of Turning Point USA, was gunned down in a cold-blooded sniper attack at 12:20 p.m. Mountain Time. A single high-powered rifle shot tore through Kirk's neck from roughly 150 yards from what appears to be a shooter on the Los East Center building.
So there's somebody on the roof right there? Just saying? He just ran from over my finger. Whoa. From over there, ran in. Now he's right there.
A husband and father of two, a man who deeply loved a country that had rewarded him the providence his work deserved, was pronounced dead. There are reports that he died almost immediately after being shot. As the nation grieved, the Democrats feasted on the tragedy like a pack of hyenas.
Political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country, and I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it.
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. Let's wait a minute. The House will be in order. Shh.
While many Americans immediately confronted the elephant in the room and pointed a finger at cowardly color revolution, radicalization, mind control operations like MSNBC, who before we even knew if Charlie had survived, painted Charlie as an existential threat, gaslighting the country into believing Kirk's rhetoric was responsible for his own death, when in fact it was their own rhetoric that got us here. A clear display of broadcasted domestic terrorism, which is defined as violent criminal acts committed by individuals and or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences, such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature.
He's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
And I know it's hard to predict the future, Mark, but you can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
Obviously, there's a lot of rhetoric that is problematic. A lot of it is coming from one particular side and from one particular building. But what can be done, I fear, when this is an escalation already in less than 24 hours of this shooting?
Speaking of this tragedy, is this a moment for your party to reflect on political violence? Is it a moment for us to think about the responsibility of our political leaders and their voices and what it does to the masses as they get lost in misinformation, disinformation that turns in and spills into political violence?
I say both parties.
Only Republicans, only people inclined to consume conservative media are now, I think, upward of 50% say that if necessary, violence is okay. You've only got the conduct on one of the two sides.
The solution, Mr. President, reinstate the Smith-Munn Act and enforce it. Obama's army of propagandists will fall. The shooter still remains at large after the initial suspect, who bizarrely declared "shoot me," was released. Although authorities claim to have held another suspect, were they just decoys to allow the real shooter to flee? And who is this person being arrested wearing black pants while a rifle is clearly confiscated? Steven Crowder received an email from an ATF officer detailing a recovered older imported Mauser 30-06 bolt action rifle wrapped in a towel in a nearby wooded area along the suspect's escape route, containing a spent cartridge and three unspent rounds engraved with transgender and anti-fascist messages. Kirk had reportedly been talking about transgender issues right before he was shot.
This morning I can tell you that we have recovered what we believe is the weapon to be that was used in yesterday's shooting. Is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled.
Was this a solo fanatic radicalized by years of media-fueled hatred, or did Kirk's words rattle the agents of foreign and/or domestic terror?
Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to leave. I'm not willing to say to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand-down order?
The stench of evil is thick. Kirk's death isn't just a tragedy. It's a warning shot to a nation fighting to reclaim its soul. Know this, liberty will never die, and the spirit of Charlie Kirk will now rise within millions of young Americans who will never forget the example he left to us all. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
It's Friday, September 12th in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a very special edition of The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. And it's the 12th of September, 2025. And this is going to be my last show hosting The American Journal. So I'll be moving to War Room as of next week. I'll be doing the 3-6 show, and we're going to have a new guest host here. Whether she becomes a full-time host, I think we're doing a little testing period. Everything's in flux, very much so, and we were talking about maybe changing the name of the War Room and something else, especially with, Steve Bannon's War Room, which we were first, by the way. But there's some, confusion there sometimes. But, InfoWars is going through a bunch of changes anyway, and in the near future, we're probably going to totally shake up. You've heard Alex Shipp say it on my show yesterday, the day before. We're going to be splitting up the shows. It's going to be more like 2 1-hour shows in a day rather than 1 3-hour show, something like that. So we're going to change things up. So who knows how long I'll be in the War Room, but I'll be moving to the afternoons next week. And it's bittersweet. We've been doing this for 5 years here. And got to be honest, I love everything about this show except for the time slot. It's the time slot alone that I can no longer bear. And I'm very much looking forward to not waking up quite so early anymore. But this crew is the best, absolutely the best. This audience is amazing. The studio is my favorite. But we're moving on. We're moving on. I'm moving to the War Room, and we're gonna try to go out like we always do, giving you the news, bringing you the details of the day. And I got a lot to talk about in that regard. But yeah, we're continuing to grow, we're continuing to expand, and this is just part of that. So I will miss in a weird way, as much as I really did not like getting up every morning, waking up to my alarm, and I do look forward to being able to sleep in a little bit. Still a pretty big change and is a little bit daunting. And I am going to miss having this crew that we've worked together for 5 years, and I've enjoyed all of it. So anyway, we'll get into the news today. We have a lot of follow-up to the Charlie Kirk assassination, of course. We have an announcement from Trump earlier today that the assassination has been apprehended. The assassin has been apprehended. I'm going to show you clips from that and what Trump is saying about it. And just where the mood is in the country right now. We also, I'm still like in a state of disbelief that this is even real and that I feel like I'm somehow responsible for it. Benjamin Netanyahu has been forced to answer whether or not Israel killed Charlie Kirk. And I don't think he was ready for the question, and his answer doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's very crazy. So I'll show you that here in just a minute. Before we do any of that though, and I probably should have said this yesterday. I should have started with this because a lot of these conversations have already probably happened, but they'll continue to happen today. And I just want to encourage everybody that on the topic of Charlie Kirk's murder, you have never been presented such a clear-cut case of moral superiority to the other side. We talk about this a lot, but there's a instinct that's been bred into conservatives to hold their tongues. The left just spouts off. They just say the craziest crap as if you agree with them. It doesn't even enter their mind that what they're saying might be utterly repulsive to the person they're talking to. They just say the craziest stuff. And conservatives most of the time just sort of bite their tongue and go, oh, really? Yeah, cool. And then later are like, you won't believe what this person said. They're so crazy. Stand up for Charlie Kirk. That is my suggestion, my advice, my appeal to people. Do not be shy in standing up against people, even moderately justifying or giving a reason for. I had a friend and she was telling me about a conversation she was having with another friend. She was like, well, you know, she wasn't trying to justify his murder, but she was kind of like, you know, well, he said, I said, stop right there. Here's the thing. One, I already know what they said because the person you're talking to is not a human being. They're a repeater station for liars. They don't have their own thoughts. She is not a being of conscience. She is a NPC, a robot. I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, oh, well, he said some gun deaths were acceptable. And she's like, yeah, how'd you know? It's because they only have three things. They have three things. Something about transgender people, something about, well, school shootings happened, so it's okay that he got murdered. And, well, he said the gun deaths were acceptable, cost of having the Second Amendment. So I said, okay, here's the deal. Before you even tell me what your friend said, one, I already know what they said because they are not a human being. They are just repeating something I've heard 10,000 times. It's the only thing they ever say. They are provided talking points that they regurgitate. They mean nothing. First of all, it's not justification for murdering a man in front of his children, you absolute psychopaths. Like, this is the way these people need to be talked to. And I've seen a few videos where, like, people are, like, laughing and celebrating Charlie Kirk, and somebody will be like, guys, why are you... Is that really something you should be doing? And they're like, well, what about all the trans people that are doing? And they're like, well, I mean, but I just, you know, I don't know if this is the best. And it's like, guys, there's never been an easier moral victory to win. And I'm going to try to instruct you how to do it. You just demand that they come to terms and recognize that what they're saying is they're justifying the murder of a man in front of his children. And because at that point it doesn't matter. Oh, well, he said, so you think he should be murdered in front of his children? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Oh, didn't he say that? Okay. Well, and here's the other thing. First of all, I'm talking to my friend. I'm saying, first of all, I know what your friend said because they're not a human. And it's like when you're hunting an animal, the animals don't have strategy. If you go left, they go right. It's very simple, right? It's like I know what the mouse is going to do. When I go towards him, he's going to run away. He's going to go under the thing. Like, they just have pre-programmed responses like animals. So they're like animals. They have no conscience. They have no ability to think for themselves. They have no free will. And that's very unfortunate. And I want to help these people. But in the meantime, do not argue with them. Don't try to justify anything on your side. They have to justify it to you if they're saying this. Because here's the other thing. They all have the same talking points bred into them to regurgitate on command, and they're entirely false. And they aren't, he never even said the things that they think he said. So if they want to try to justify this, if they want to try to defend the assassination of Charlie Kirk by bringing up something that they think he said, ask him what he said. What did he say? What do you think he said? Do you even know what he said? You don't even know what he said. So you think a man should be murdered in front of his young children because of something he might have said? You're not even sure what it is. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? That's it. That's as far as the conversation needs to go. They can scramble and try to justify it however they want. But now is not the time for timidity. Now is not the time for giving any credence whatsoever to the claims these people are making. They're wrong. They're evil. They're supporting a viciously hateful position. It's indefensible. Let them have it. To me, it's almost like the same. And it's not like it's a rhetorical tactic to just like drive home on this one indefensible position that they're holding. It's kind of how it can feel. But the fact is, they cannot defend their position, so they immediately divert to other things, and they want to bring up other things, and suddenly put you on the back foot, and you're defending things. You just always return to that center point, and you just go, they killed a man in front of his young children. If you're justifying that for any reason, you are wrong and you are evil, and you need to think about this, about what you've become, what is wrong with you. Now is the time for moral certainty and virtue signaling. Yes, now is the time to virtue and to point out we are virtuous, they are not. So I really just want to encourage people, if you have a chance today, people in your work or your school or your family or your friends, or even, you know, but Charlie Kirk, you know, he was kind of a bad, but he kind of said something. You just look him in the eye and you say, what the hell is wrong with you? What did you just say? Say that again. You think he deserves to die? So you think I deserve to die? You think your brother deserves to die? What is wrong? Why would you say that? That's the only thing these people need to hear. Just now is not the time for timidity, because you have an absolute impenetrable armor of moral rectitude when it comes to this, moral certainty that you are on the right side. If you are not on the side of the person celebrating the death of an innocent man, you are the right. You are on the right side, and you have to be absolutely resolute and forceful and dogmatic in pushing that idea. I really, really want to encourage. And, you know, it's the same thing when it comes to, like, Israel. And I'll debate people on Israel. And it should be like, they're killing tens of thousands of children. Can you justify? Can they justify that? Of course not. I mean, they do internally, but they know what it sounds like to say it, so they're not going to say it. So it's got to go into, oh, well, but October 7th, though. Oh, but, I mean, but you have to look at body shield, but, and you just, no. I'm against Israel killing children. If you can justify the killing of children, then that's what you should be doing now. But if you're bringing anything else up, then you're admitting you're wrong and I'm right about Israel killing children. You're right. You're wrong about Israel killing children. You're wrong about Charlie Kirk deserving death. And these are the most absolute positions it's possible to hold at this point, as far as I'm concerned. So I wanted to start off with that, because I was seeing that a lot yesterday. People going, well, you know, he did say these things. It's like, what? What is wrong with you? That's, and again, just, there's no room at this point for even considering what these people are saying. And again, it's like they don't even know what he said. And what he said isn't actually what he said, because, by the way, on the thing with the whole, I mean, the quote that they will constantly say, the one thing they think justifies this, which, again, it's like, if he said exactly what they thought, it still wouldn't be right to kill him. But he never even said the thing. The full context of that clip where he says, you know, deaths are acceptable as a cost of, you know, having the Second Amendment. It's literally completely out of context, and it's this much longer video where he's talking about the fact that guns exist is reality. We have to contend with that. Getting gun deaths down to zero is just an impossibility. It's a utopian vision, so that can't be your goal because it's impossible to ever reach. So what we need to be doing is minimizing that number to get it as low as possible while acknowledging that we cannot get it down to absolute zero as a consequence of the existence of guns. And they take that and twisted into, he just doesn't care that people die. He just like, oh, well, children shot. Too bad. I like guns. Like, that's how they interpret it. So they are. I'm trying to explain to my friend. I'm like, they're operating under so many levels of delusion that they are completely lost. And like, literally, they need to be talked to in a way that wakes them up. This is what I'm saying to my friend. I'm like, she's like, well, I didn't want to get into it right now. And it's like, no, almost for their sake, they need to be metaphorically, not physically, spiritually slapped in the face, shaken. What is wrong with you? What have they done to you? What are you talking about? The man deserved to be murdered in front of his children. Are you a monster? Like, what is wrong with you? Oh, well, but he said, I'm sorry, you're bringing up statements that he made, may have made. You don't even know if he made them. You think that justifies murder? I gotta go, man. Like, I can't be around you if you're gonna be like, I didn't realize you were like this. I thought you were a decent person. I'm learning new things about you and I'm not comfortable with it. Because they're justifying your murder. You understand that, right? That they're looking you in the eye and going, the things you believe you deserve to be killed for. And you're going to sit there and go, well, I don't know if I really deserve to be killed for my belief. It's like, no, you look me in the eye and go, try it, mother. Like, what is wrong with you? If I can impart some moral certitude and some aggressiveness in conservatives, this is one thing that you absolutely do not have to put up with or give any credence to their claims. And now is the time to be shouting them down. Please. Do it like Charlie did it. Charlie was the best at that. All right, we got a lot of videos to get into, and we got some stories not about Charlie Kirk. We will probably spend most of the show still on the response mostly to Charlie Kirk. Of course, we'll bring you any information we have about who was arrested and how trustworthy that is, and we'll get into Benjamin Netanyahu just panicking, absolutely panicking on live TV because of me. Isn't that crazy? How crazy is that? Weirdly, it's because of me. So we're going to take a victory lap here, but we will begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 12th of September, 2025. Charlie Kirk's suspected assassin captured after fatal shooting of influential conservative voice in Utah. President Donald Trump announced the capture of a suspect accused of killing Charlie Kirk, a conservative activist, co-founder of Turning Point USA, and friend of Vice President J.D. Vance. Police have arrested the suspect in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Trump did not provide the name of the suspect nor the name of who turned the suspect in. Trump says he hopes the suspect gets the death penalty if found guilty. He also explained how investigators found the suspect with help from a minister, a member of the U.S. Marshal Service, and the suspect's father. We have the person who we think is the person we're looking for, but they drove into the police headquarters. He's there now. So we'll show you the statements from Donald Trump on Fox News this morning. He made a couple statements saying, yes, it was somebody close to the person that turned them in. We'll get into all the clips that of Trump this morning. See, he made some pretty powerful statements. Meanwhile, in a sort of horrifying vision of an alternative future here, Brazil's Bolsonaro has been sentenced to more than 27 years in prison for coup attempt. So remember, the State Department went down to Brazil following the 2020 election being stolen here in America. They went down to Brazil and performed the same function for them and rigged the election for them. And they staged the exact same January 6th tactic. I mean, beat for beat. They did exactly the same thing in Brazil that they did here. Only in that case, it came to fruition. It went all the way to, you know, where it was intended to go here. And the former president has now been sentenced to nearly 30 years in prison. A panel of Brazilian Supreme Court justices served former president sentenced former President Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years and 3 months in prison Thursday after convicting him of attempting a coup to remain in office despite his 2022 electoral defeat. Bolsonaro is currently under house arrest in Brasilia. He can appeal the sentence. Four of the five justices reviewing the case found the far-right politician guilty on five counts. U.S. President Donald Trump said hours later that he was very unhappy with the conviction. Speaking to reporters as he departed the White House, he said he always found Bolsonaro to be outstanding. And again, if there wasn't Charlie Kirk to talk about, we would be spending a lot of time on this, breaking down exactly how they stole the election in 2020 here, went to Brazil, did exactly the same thing there, did exactly the same staging of a big protest at the government building that the police attacked. It got out of hand. They claim that was a coup and are now sentencing Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years in prison. And that's what they tried to do here. In an alternative timeline, Kamala Harris wins and Donald Trump is being sentenced to 30 years in prison. So just thank God that we avoided that fate. And again, I wish we had more of a more of an open field to talk about some of this stuff. Meanwhile, Poland tells Donald Trump Russian drone incident was not a mistake. President Trump said the violations of Poland's airspace by Russian drones could have been a mistake, contradicting NATO allies, including Poland, who said it was intentional. Polish leaders rebuffed President Trump for suggesting that Russian drones invaded NATO airspace this week might have been a mistake. We would also wish that the drone attack on Poland was a mistake, Poland's Prime Minister Donald Tusk said Friday morning, but it wasn't and we know it. Of course, they're just being deliberately dishonest because, after all, it wasn't even an attack. They were surveillance drones that Poland shot down. So if they hadn't shot them down, they would have just left Polish airspace. I don't know if I'd call that a drone attack necessarily. There were drones in your airspace. You shot them down. And by the way, drones can be hacked. And like 10 years ago, Iran hacked a American drone and landed it in one of their airfields. It's total simplicity to hack a drone and fly it into Polish airspace to, you know, get the casus belli to start World War III. And it wasn't an attack in the first place. Meanwhile, I don't even know if I've covered this story at all yet, but here's the latest. The mysterious object cruising towards Mars is doing something very peculiar, strange. A mysterious object from interstellar space is screaming through our solar system right now and is expected to rip past Mars and Jupiter over the coming months before exiting back into the void between stars. Astronomers have been fascinated by the unusual visitor dubbed Atlas after its discovery in July and have broadly come to the conclusion it's a comet composed of ice and dust particles. But intriguingly, the object isn't just growing one tail. It's also sprouting a separate anti-tail pointing in the direction of the sun. The anti-tail is an extension of the glow scattered by sunlight towards the sun and not away from it, as typical of the case of comets. And basically, it's every couple of days they announce something else weird and mysterious and alien about this foreign object heading towards Earth, because I think they're planning on doing a big alien scare for all of us. Because nothing else is working, and I think that's the only card they have left to play in their deck. But I think we already won. Meanwhile, and this is another thing that we would have been spending a lot of time on if not for the Charlie Kirk assassination. The U.S. House just passed a bill punishing politically motivated boycotts of Israel. In a first step towards a federal law punishing criticism of Israel, the House of Representatives on Wednesday passed a massive defense budget that would bar companies engaged in politically motivated boycotts of the country from Pentagon contracts. That bill would effectively ban contractors boycotting Israel from tapping most federal contract dollars, since more than half of the $755 billion U.S. government spent on contracts last year flowed through the Defense Department. So they just passed a law banning the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement from receiving federal funds, because we are, in fact, a satellite of Israel and obviously a puppet state of them. And we'll get back to that on the other side. And we'll talk quite a bit about it, I think, because I think Israel should really be questioning itself and its future existence, honestly. I mean, they are losing support so incredibly rapidly. And I don't think, you know, having half of the American Congress blackmailed for, you know, pedophilia is going to save them. I don't think that's a shield big enough to defend against the assault that they're about to be under. And that's a fair warning to them.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right
now?
I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear.
You know, talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank you
for sharing your story, and thank you for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, on my final broadcast here. So I'm going to open up the phone lines very, very early today. We got a lot of videos to get to. In the meantime, I don't want to make you just stay on hold while we watch these clips. But it's been an interesting 24 hours. Since I was last on it, well, that's not even true. I did like 8 hours live yesterday. And in fact, I did, an hour with, Clint Russell from Liberty Lock Pod, and he just released that interview on YouTube. And I think out of all of the time I spent on air yesterday, that 1 hour, we really got into everything, in a very thorough way. So if you want to go watch that, I encourage you to. But in the last 24 hours, they've released the image of the suspected shooter. Then the FBI held a press conference where literally nothing made any sense. We'll get into that a little bit. The story is not adding up. There are some major and obvious inconsistencies in it. We're going to try to figure out if we can't determine why that is. And I don't want to, you know, be speaking out of hopefulness rather than just sheer reality. I don't know if hopefulness is the right word, but I've had 2 people reach out to me that are in positions to know, that are very highly connected, from two different branches of government at the highest levels, to tell me it was Israel. Now, you know, again, I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying I've had two people reach out to me on their own, say, hey, I can't really get into it, but yeah, they think it was Israel. Everybody here thinks it was Israel. So that's kind of interesting. And if that is the case, does not kind of fit into how everything is being unrolled. Because it almost seems like, you know, I don't want this to just be fantastical thinking. Maybe I shouldn't even say it. Maybe I shouldn't even say it. We'll show you the clips from Donald Trump saying exactly what's been found so far. It just seems like maybe if you were to imagine a highly orchestrated false flag assassination attempt that gets spoiled by somebody saying what the plan was, and so then the people involved have to scramble to change the plan midstream, it might look something like this. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Because again, I got some videos to show you. We'll get into it. But first, President Trump. Here's President Trump saying that Charlie Kirk's assassin is in fact in jeopardy. Here he is on Fox and Friends this morning.
Clarification, so a pastor was able to turn him in, or they got the family of the shooter to turn them in?
Well, it was a minister, and the minister went to a friend, a minister who is involved with law enforcement, by the way, and his good friend is a top U.S. Marshal, and they took it from there, and then it was a father got involved, namely his father, and said, we've got to go in, and they so I understand it, and again, subject to change, but, you know, the facts are the facts. We have the person that we think is the person we're looking for, but they drove into the police headquarters, and he's there now.
Did the father know about what the son had done?
I don't know. I'm going to let you get all those questions later, because I can't tell you how accurate. The bottom line is they have somebody that they think did it.
So, Mr. President.
And he's obviously being very careful with his words. I can understand why, but I guess we'll have to wait to find out more. There is supposed to be a press conference this morning, and if that goes live during our show, we will, of course, go to that live. So stay tuned here for any updates. There is, the crew is telling me there's supposed to be a press. Okay, so there's the press conference there, so we're awaiting them coming up to the podium. Let's go now to clip number one. This is, again, President Trump on Five and Friends this morning, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think that I don't want to go too far. I'd like to tell you some stories that how it happened, but essentially somebody that was very close to him turned him in. And that happens when you had some of those good shots. Somebody is going to say, whether it's a parent or whatever, I'd rather not say right now. They're going to announce it today, sometime later, probably talk about that. But somebody close to him turned him in. You know, they said, whoa. It's interesting. We had very good pictures, but not great, not perfect. And when you look at it, what happened is somebody, and this happens a lot. It happened with the crazy Boston bomber. It happened with others. Somebody this close recognizes even a little tilt of the head, which nobody else would do. And somebody that was very close to him said, that's him. Mm. And essentially went to the father. Went to a U.S. Marshal, who was fantastic, by the way, and the person was involved with law enforcement, but was a person of faith, a minister, and brought him to a U.S. Marshal, who was fantastic, and the father convinced the son, this is it, and again, I'm always subject to be corrected, but you know, I'm just giving you, based on what I'm hearing, they'll give you a much more active, I just heard about it 5 minutes before I walked in. As I'm walking in, they said, looking real good. They have the person that they wanted. So you have breaking news, don't you? Huh?
Okay, so they caught him alive. That I frankly did not expect. I'm still a little bit confused at how this went down. So the father of the shooter was friends with the U.S. Marshal, and the father convinced the son to turn himself in. I think that's the story that I'm getting, right? Regardless, Trump did call for the death penalty. So there's the suspect in custody. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson turned in by dad. If you want to bring me anything you have there, whatever that article is. Because so far as I know, the only release about this is President Trump saying it. So if we have more information, if y'all can bring me that article. Trump called for the death penalty of the assassin of Charlie Kirk. Let's go to clip number 26 now.
In Utah, they have the death penalty. And you have a very good governor there. The governor, I've gotten to know him. The governor is very intent on the death penalty in this case, and he should be. In North Carolina, you also have it, but we have to make sure that happens. That was a horrific crime.
Yeah, it's been a series of traumatizing crimes. Let's go to clip of 28 here. This is Trump in terms of whether this assassination changes things for him.
What do you say to people who are saying they see the assassination attempts in your life? They see the Minnesota lawmakers. They see what happened. They see what happened to Charlie. And they're saying, what's going on with the political process? Now, instead of trying to get votes, you're trying to survive. There are lawmakers canceling their events this weekend. AOC on the left and a lot of lawmakers on the right saying, I'm a little concerned about doing a public event. As president, what do you tell them?
I say you have to go forward. You just have to go forward. You watch it, you know, as closely as you can. You have, I have great people. I mean, I have people now much better and far more.
That's Trump saying to keep going. We do have the name and identity of this person. Suspect in Charlie Kirk's killing identified. The person accused of fatally shooting conservative activist Charlie Kirk is 22-year-old Utah resident Tyler Robinson. According to 5 law enforcement officials briefed on the matter, Kirk, a co-founder of Turning Point USA, an influential voice in the Trump administration, was shot and killed Wednesday during an event in Utah Valley University, a public school south of Salt Lake City, according to Utah Department of Public Safety Commissioner Bo Mason. The event was hosted by the school's chapter of Turning Point USA, a group Kirk founded and organizes that mobilizes young conservatives. He was later pronounced dead at a local hospital. Law enforcement officials said the shot was believed to have been fired by a person on the roof of a building. In an interview with NBC News, Mason said that the single shot fired at Kirk traveled a distance of roughly 175 yards. Investigators tracked the person's movement on campus through stairwells and across a roof, Mason said at a news conference Thursday. After opening fire, Mason said the person was seen jumping from a building and fleeing to a neighborhood. Video released by authorities Thursday captured the person they described as the shooter running across the building's roof and descending onto a grassy area below. The person can then be seen walking past a parking lot towards a busy road. The person blended in well with the college institution, Mason said. The FBI was analyzing a weapon described as a high-powered bolt-action rifle that was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter is believed to have fled, according to the Public Safety Department. Investigators were also examining trace evidence collected from the rooftop, a palm print, forearm print, and shoe impress, and the FBI said. In a statement, TPUSA said Kirk faced thousands of threats throughout his own life, but always prioritized reaching as many young Americans as possible over his own personal safety. So I guess that's all the information we have about this guy so far. I'm sure internet sleuths are looking into him, and well, I'll go ahead and start monitoring that and bring anything new as it comes. The video that we've been shown there as B-roll is a video that was released of the guy jumping off the roof. If we go ahead and bring that back up, they zoom in a little bit, and there you see the guy. And I guess he's got like something in his hand there. And he drops down. This is kind of strange because obviously he didn't get up to the roof that way. But that's the way that he gets away. But he's not holding a rifle. That is the interesting thing about it. He does not appear to be holding a rifle in his hands. He may have a backpack on. It looks like he has like a jacket on or in his hand as well, some piece of clothing. But it didn't look like he had a rifle. And from what I understand about the gun that he used, it's not exactly easy to disassemble quickly or reassemble quickly. And yet it was found assembled in the woods where he supposedly left it wrapped in a towel. So how does any of this match up? So the guy left the rifle in the woods completely put together, but he's on video jumping off the roof with no rifle in his hands. So I guess the official story is he shoots Charlie Kirk, fatal shot, one shot, straight to the carotid artery from 175 yards, then disassembles his rifle, puts it in his backpack before jumping off the roof, going to the woods, reassembling his rifle, wrapping it in a towel, and leaving it for the police to find. But why would he do any of that? Not a single step of that makes any sense. Why would he disassemble his rifle before fleeing? Why would he then reassemble it? Why would he leave it in the woods? Why would he do any of these things? Something doesn't add up here, in my opinion. And I frankly, kind of makes even less sense the story that I just heard from Trump about the guy's dad didn't know he was the one that did it, but somehow he turns himself in and just drives him straight to the police department and turns himself over. I'm a little skeptical. I mean, we'll wait. We'll hear the details. Again, we're waiting this live press conference, and whenever that comes about, we'll go to it. But we don't have any other information, so Tyler Robinson. We'll see what people are finding out about this guy. In the meantime, we have, of course, the left just absolutely foaming at the mouth about all of this and lying relentlessly about it. And there's some Republican movement in the right direction. But I think sort of the voice that is should be listened to most at this point is honestly Mike Cernovich. Mike Cernovich has been pushing basically the same message since this happened, which is to put the blame for this assassination squarely on the shoulders of Republicans in office for having failed to do anything to combat leftist violence up until now and even after Charlie Kirk's assassination. And the feigned impotence of the right wing when it comes to stuff like this can no longer be accepted. And we've sort of been taught this lesson over and over again. And something that we've been saying over and over again, that I've been saying over and over again in America, in the American Journal, especially when it comes to stuff like free speech on campus or anti-Semitism on campus, as we've said a million times for literally decades on college campuses, they have been explicitly anti-white. And you won't even hear anybody talk about that, let alone reference. And even if you do, it'll be like, well, it's a university freedom. I mean, what are you supposed to do? They go to what? We can have the government go in and tell universities what they can and can't say. I mean, phew, far be it from us. And then it's like, oh, but they're anti-Semitic. And they're like, well, then we'll withhold their funding and we'll force them to get a new president and we'll haul them into Congress and put them under oath and ask them questions. We'll throw them in jail if they don't answer them right. And it's like, okay, so you could have done this at any time. So all the time you were going, gee, what could we do? You could have done all of this stuff. You could have launched lawsuits, investigations, withhold funding, drag them before Congress, subpoena them for questioning. All of this stuff was there in your toolbox. You just never felt like it was worth it to take it out for us. But for your donors, you know, the world is their oyster. So it's incredibly frustrating. It would be frustrating if we just had an incompetent, incapable government. That would be frustrating on its own. The frustration turns into rage when you understand that the government is ready and willing to deploy all manner of weapons against you. But they're not willing to do anything for you. They're not willing to lift a single finger to help you. They act like they don't know how. They don't know what to do. What could they ever do? It is insulting at this point. Because not just the way that we've seen Republicans move heaven and earth for the Israeli lobby, banning TikTok, getting university presidents fired, passing laws to ban political speech that they don't like. I mean, it's just anything they want, they get unrestrained, unrestricted. That's one aspect of frustration, specifically about the Republicans. But then you look at what the Democrats were able to do with January 6th. Sedition hunters, 1,200 dedicated employees combing through footage paid by taxpayer dollars to identify and hunt down peaceful protesters – storming into their houses in the middle of the night with 30 FBI agents. It's like Lauren Chin said, oh, for some reason, the FBI has no extra manpower to go investigate a credible threat against Charlie Kirk a week before the event. Because one of the things that's come out is, yes, FBI said the line. They've said the famous line. He was on our radar. We were aware of him. Because a week before, a student saw a suspicious figure on the roof of a building where later the shot would come from, and he called the FBI to say, I think something suspicious is happening here, and they never followed up because they don't have the manpower. And Lauren Chin is like, that's funny because you had the manpower to send 30 agents to kick down my door, and I didn't even do anything. Maybe she never even got charged for a crime. There are plenty of FBI agents to haul away abortion protesters, kick down the door of January 6ers. When it comes to a credible threat against Charlie Kirk, gee, you know, what are we supposed to do here? We're just all booked up. So these excuses are not acceptable anymore. And Republicans really need to understand, for their own sake, for the sake of their own ambition, their own career, it is incumbent on them now to do something. And for once, as we keep saying over and over and over again, let the other side try to stop us. Stop interfering on your with your own side. Stop getting in the way and standing in front of your own army and going, wait, hold on, guys. Let's not fight too hard. Let the other army try to fight us. Let them limit us. Let's go as far as we possibly can. And let's let our enemies try to limit our action. It's not up to us to limit our action. It's like, we should not limit our action anymore. Politically, nonviolently, obviously. Desperately, I'm begging you. Do something politically so the violence doesn't spiral out of control. And we've got some more information about the shooter here. But I do, well, since I'm talking about it, let's go to Mike Cernovich, clip number 30, the murder of Charlie Kirk and who is responsible.
The murder of Charlie Kirk is not remotely surprising, although it is tragic, and everyone is trying to collect their thoughts on this. But there are a few people who are responsible and need to take accountability, need to be called out, and I consider chief among them congressional Republicans. The way of life of a MAGA person, myself included, has been the specter of political violence, knowing any day you could be attacked. These are not abstract concerns. You can see footage, hundreds of clips from people who went to the San Jose Trump rally in 2015. The Chicago Trump rally was shut down. The deplorable, the inauguration event held in 2017. Even when congressional Republicans were almost mass murdered in the Scalise shooting or the congressional baseball shooting, however you call it, Republicans refused to take action or do anything. And that leads me to wonder if they are in service of the demons and in service of the same people who are trying to destroy the country, because that's what it looks like to me. We see what happens after J6, what Democrats can do. We see what the government can do using lawful means, and nothing has happened. We've seen Republicans in Congress spring to action when college kids are debating Israel, right? Which, don't get me wrong, shared enemy. I don't like those leftists either. I'm glad they're being deported. But I haven't seen the world stop after a murder of Charlie Kirk in the way the world had to stop because some left-wing blue-haired girl flipped the phone of an adult male with an IDF shirt. Oh, we gotta stop the presses for that. But when you can't even be a Trump supporter without facing people trying to kill you, and there are cases like one in North Dakota where a teenage boy was run down and prosecutors claimed it wasn't politically motivated, even though a kid was a prominent Trump supporter and was talking about Trump. That's where we are. So I'm seeing congressional Republicans sort of give a Hallmark memories and a Hallmark sentimentality, but that isn't what we need or what we want at this point. We need to know if they're going to take action, because it really concerns me what will happen if RICO isn't used to shut down Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Reid Hoffman, Steve Jobs' widow, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos. It really upsets me if they aren't defrocked and defunded immediately, because I do not want to live in a world, nor do I think you, and I don't care billionaires, I don't think anybody wants to live in a world where you have normalized sectarian violence. I'm against it. Republicans in Congress, though, I hold you responsible.
I completely agree. Could not agree more. And again, the the amount of left-wing violence that we've seen in this country is ridiculous. It really is. Again, when you take just the political violence, it's out of control. But you loop in just the other violence inspired by leftist ideology, and it really is almost an everyday thing at this point. And we can go to, we'll go to some other videos. Scott Adams has made a very similar statement. We'll go to more videos on the other side, and we'll bring you any information we have about the suspect. The press conference is set to begin in about 2 minutes now. So we'll go to break and come back with that full press conference, where hopefully we'll learn a little bit more and get some information that actually, you know, is consistent with the other information that we already have and that actually makes sense. Because so far, all they've shown us is a video of the suspect not holding a rifle, and then they claim to find that rifle in the woods, fully assembled with messages written on it. There are some glaring holes and some major inconsistencies so far. Hopefully we can clear some of that up. Let me just say one of the things that, you know, if it proves to be true, sort of changes the discussion when it comes to gun control. In fact, this was a bolt-action rifle. And you might as well be like a, you know, muzzle-loading musket. It's the simplest and, you know, oldest, one of the oldest forms of gun. It's not an AR-15. They can't say, oh, well, this is why we have to get rid of assault rifles. If you want to ban the type of gun that was used here, then you're banning all guns from anyone ever. So sort of puts a wrench in the typical arguments when it comes to gun control. Again, we're going to get into who exactly this person was and how they were brought into custody, and we will be bringing you the press conference live as it begins. In the meantime, please let me ask you go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. We are doing incredible stuff. Yesterday, if you were watching Alex Jones' show, he got an idea for a t-shirt. By the end of the show, the t-shirt was created and on the store. We are all Charlie Kirk, and a portion of the proceeds from that shirt will go to TPUSA. It's the Charlie Kirk fundraiser. 25% of proceeds will be donated to TPUSA. We are all Charlie Kirk. And again, if there's one thing that we can all do in response to this, as so many of us are feeling frustrated at the seeming impotence of the right to actually protect ourselves and get justice, you can just spread Charlie Kirk's message. You can be the Charlie Kirk that they tried to kill and really make him regret it.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you, and then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical-grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox, super empowering system for your cardiovascular system, Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Ultramethylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the t-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air, and I don't own it, soon they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We'll be right back.
begin the press conference. It's slated to begin any minute now, where we'll learn more about the accused killer of Charlie Kirk, who has apparently been taken into custody around 11 p.m. local time yesterday, southern Utah. He lives on in a $600,000 six-bedroom home in Washington, Utah, about 260 miles south of Kirk's assassination in Orem. Officials have yet to confirm a motive for the assassination. Authorities said at a press conference on Thursday night that Robinson will face the death penalty if convicted. His mother, Amber Robinson, works for Intermountain Support Coordination Services, a company contracted by the state of Utah to help disabled people receive care. Robinson was a student of Utah State University on a scholarship, insiders confirmed with the Daily Mail. The family's social media profiles show Robinson, who has two younger brothers, often enjoying family vacations and sharing smiling selfies, including some celebrating the alleged killer getting into college. The alleged killer confessed to his father, Matt, who is a 27-year veteran of the Washington County Sheriff Department. Sources told Daily Mail his father then contacted authorities and secured his son before he could be taken into custody. Authorities said at a press conference on Thursday night that Robinson will face the death penalty if convicted. Robinson was a student at Utah State University. And this picture of him standing awkwardly in his dorm room. And it seems to match up with the picture that we saw yesterday, posted by the FBI. Officials released images of a person of interest who was sought in the manhunt, seen wearing a black T-shirt with a bald eagle flying across the American flag. Kirk, seen moments before he was shot, was assassinated Wednesday on the UVU campus in Orem, Utah, as he held a Turning Point USA event. Trump announced the arrest in an appearance on Fox News, where he said that somebody very close to the suspect turned them in. This came after a manhunt, with officials offering an award of $100,000 for information leading to his capture. The father, I'm trying to find more information about this actual assassin here. We see some pictures from his social media. His mother, Amber Robinson, works for Intermountain Support Coordination Services, a company contracted by the state of Utah to help disabled people receive care. We'll tell you what. Now that we got this guy's name and who he is, and I'm sure we'll get more information about him. I'm sure they scrubbed social media before they announced his name, as they typically do. So I don't know if we'll be able to find for ourselves, you know, who this guy was and what he was into and what he was listening to and everything. But I don't know if you remember, but after January 6th, there was a big push to basically demonize anybody, whoever the people involved had listened to. I mean, Parler was basically destroyed over it. You had major attacks against big tech. Well, not big tech, against little tech, against the alternative tech, despite the fact that most of the organizing for any of these events were done on Facebook and Twitter. They were never targeted, the smaller places were. I just think we need to find out who radicalized this person. We need to find out who radicalized them, who they were talking to, what shows they watched. I mean, we should find all this out. The alleged killer was found after multiple suspects were incorrectly apprehended on Tuesday. Again, just all very odd. Initially, a person of interest was said to be in custody with Kirk's shooting. Utah Governor Spencer Cox announced Wednesday evening. However, they were later released. The suspect in subject in custody has been released after interrogation by law enforcement, Patel said in a statement. Our investigation continues and we will release information in the interest of transparency. So personally, I'd like to know who that person was, why they arrested them, why they thought they were a subject, and why they were released. That would be interesting to know. We have no information about that. Robinson's arrest comes after a manhunt for the suspect stretched over a day and a half, during which officials released surveillance showing the footage, showing a figure on top of a roof, leaping from a building and sprinting into a nearby neighborhood after Kirk was shot from around 200 yards away. And that's basically all we know so far. It looks like Kash Patel is now entering the room. We're going to take a 60-second break, and we'll be back on the other side as the press conference begins into the identity of this alleged killer, how he was caught, and what happens next. Stay with us. It's the American Journal. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Go to the theoliveshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum of the Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best. You've heard about Methylene Blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC Moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? Just another giant discount up of everything. You want to get the bovine colostrum, ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. The press conference is live now about the arrest of the alleged killer of Charlie Kirk. We go now to Orem, Utah, where this press conference is being held.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI. Investigators reviewed additional video footage from UVU surveillance and identified Robinson arriving on UVU campus in a gray Dodge Challenger at approximately 8:29 a.m. on September 10th, in which he is observed on video in a plain maroon t-shirt, light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and light-colored shoes. When encountered in person by investigators in Washington County on September 12th, in the early morning hours, Robinson was observed in consistent clothing with those surveillance images. Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate, who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device. The content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. Messages from the contact Tyler also mentioned that he had changed outfits. I know there has been speculation as well as to the writing on those casings, those bullet casings, and I believe we have that as well. And I will share that with you now. So the area north of Campus Drive Road where the suspect crossed over, you saw some of that in the video that we released last night, consists of a grassy area with trees on the edge of the UVU campus. Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it.
Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this question mark?" Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point." Up arrow symbol, right arrow, and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "O Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO." We are indebted to law enforcement across the state who has worked seamlessly together, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and our federal partners with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We're grateful for everyone who worked together in such a short amount of time to find this person and to bring justice. I want to thank the public who has been so engaged, reviewing videos, helping us with sending in tips, and helping us get to this point. I want to thank the family members of Tyler Robinson who did the right thing in this case and were able to bring him into to law enforcement as well. I especially want to thank the family of Charlie Kirk, Erica, Charlie's parents, his children. I want us to be thinking of them as we bring justice in this case. They will be involved in that justice. We will be working very closely with them as we move through this process as well. This is a very sad day for, again, for our country, a terrible day for the state of Utah, but I'm grateful that at this moment we have an opportunity to bring closure to this very dark chapter in our nation's history. With that, I will now turn the microphone over to the director of the FBI, Kash Patel.
Thank you, Governor. This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. The FBI and our partners are proud to stand here today together to bring justice to the family of Charlie Kirk and honor his memory. I want to express my deep gratitude to President Trump, the Vice President, and the entire White House who have been so incredibly supportive with both resources and just personally to the FBI as a team. They had our backs the entire way, and I just want to express my gratitude for giving us the resources we need to operate in this space to bring this sort of justice at this sort of speed. In 33 hours, we have made historic progress for Charlie. Governor Cox, our partnership has been absolutely incredible these last few days. Our partnership will endure. Your state and local partners, your sheriffs, your DPS community has been unbelievably impressive in the hardest of times. In a case like this, cannot be solved, cannot be brought without partnering with your state and local authorities. The FBI has a certain role to play, and we will play that role, and we will lead out for the federal government. But Governor Cox, we are so grateful for your state partnership that led out on this investigation. A little bit of the timeline. Charlie was shot at 12:23 p.m. on Wednesday. The first FBI agents arrived on scene in 16 minutes with chiefs of police at 12:39, and secured the scene. The FBI immediately launched fixed-wing assets. We utilized these assets to transport personnel, specialty technicians, hostage rescue teams. We also utilized these assets to go back and forth from the East Coast and here in Utah to transport forensic evidence and other evidence that will be analyzed and is being analyzed at our FBI laboratories in Quantico.
All right, folks, this is Kash Patel talking about what it took to bring this guy in, but I think we've gotten all the information that we're going to get about the shooter himself. The crew will continue to monitor the press conference if anything breaking or any new information is presented. But so far, we have the story of how this guy was identified by his father and then turned in, his father being a longtime employee of the sheriff's department, which I assume means a sheriff himself. And we have some of the information that was written on the bullets, including, "Hey, fascist, catch this," and some typical sort of meme, which, again, so strange we see this. Alex Jones joins us live from Washington, D.C. to respond to these developments. Alex, thanks for calling in.
Harrison, absolutely. You guys and the crew do a really good job. It's so sad what happened to Charlie. We've seen a giant escalation of the left and Antifa and the trans Black Lives Matter No Kings movement. Much of the crowd was calling for his death. And now the left is everywhere. Doctors, lawyers, school teachers in masks just celebrating it. I mean, this is just the viciousness of these people. And it's a real serious threat. They want to foment all this violence to force Trump to put troops on the streets, which is already happening. It's his job to do that. Then they're going to call him a fascist, which they're now doing. All this was predicted by me because it's in the Podesta plan. And so that's why when I saw this happen and I got the report for Crowder from the ATF, it fit exactly in with what we saw 2 weeks ago in Minnesota and the rest of us. This is 8 pro-trans shooters, anti-fascist shooters, as they call it, because we're all Hitler, in a row. And that we've got all these serial killer groups, you name it. This is their mentally ill army that they've literally launched. And I'm really glad that you, remembered your old post on X about it, the Ron Paul event, talking to one of his donors, saying, oh, man, he's worried Israel killing. That's a real thing you got to worry about. He was really starting to go hard on Israel. So it needs to be investigated, looked at. But that's a whole separate area over there that needs to be investigated. But now that this is coming out, and now that his father turned him in, you know, that's pointing again towards this. We need to be ready for more of these attacks. You know, it wasn't Israel, obviously, that shot up the Catholic Church 2 weeks ago either, or, the kids in Tennessee with the female to male trans. No, this is their day of rage. This is their movement. That this is what they've said they're going to do. This is the tip of the spear. Alexander Soros is funding it. And if you go to a leftist Antifa rally, about a third of the people are trans, and they're vicious. A lot of them have guns. We see them in Austin at the rallies. They threaten people. They go around pointing guns at people, and they get blasted, and then the DAs throw them in prison, the people that defend themselves. So they're building up towards this, and it's getting worse and worse, and they're shooting up ICE facilities and, killing Border Patrol agents, and it just barely makes a blip on the radar screen. But we've got to stay peaceful. We got to understand we're winning the information war. We've got to have security. We've got to watch out. We've got to protect ourselves. We've got a right to defend ourselves, but they're trying to push us into violence. And there's a really powerful AI clip that I'll send you guys of a lady asking AI, what would Charlie Kirk say if he was alive right now about this? And I totally agree with what it says. That's exactly what Kirk would say. It just nails it from speeches that he's made before. Similarly, about violence on the left. And it's crazy how he's being asked about trans shooters right when it happened. And a lot of witnesses said it seemed like a cue when it was going on. And people were like, look, the guy's on the roof. So clearly I think he had help. I think it was a stand down. And who knows? It might come out, that Israel did it. But the Democrats had the motive and the history of turning this up. They're the ones who won't decry his murder. And they're the ones that were so mad he got over 2 million young people to vote for Trump. And the crowds just got bigger and bigger at the colleges. And so he was winning. They were losing. And that is why they're in total panic mode and why they're turning to violence, because they don't have anything else they can do now. So we need to understand that the whole Islamic, leftist, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, trans conglomerate, if you haven't gone out to these protests or seen these people, you don't know how dangerous they are. We have. They are crazed. And they are the main psycho army. The trans rage cult is equivalent of suicide bombers, for Islamic groups. Right. I mean, that's what they are. That's why they have the highest rates of suicide. But now they're like, oh, I'm not going to commit suicide because I'm so depressed and screwed up on all these drugs. I'm going to go kill people, which is what the shooter in Minnesota said in his manifesto in all those videos where he's going, my precious. So, and they carve these things with the bullets and guns, just like the shooter Mangione did up in New York of the healthcare guy. Again, this is all a part of them doing this violence, this uprising. It's time for blood, and it's time for all this to happen. We have the Democrats out officially saying stuff like that. So this is a very, very serious situation. There's all these beetles and stuff flying on us here, and the camera got raised here. So God bless Charlie Kirk. God bless everybody in the fight. God bless the InfoWars crew, because we're all targeted just as well. And please pray for us. And just please understand that the left is absolutely mad dog crazed. They lost the political argument. They have the lowest fundraising in their history. They have the lowest poll numbers in their history. They are in total panic mode. They are falling apart. And so the Podesta plan that I've been harping on for all these years is to foment this civil war. I predicted out of the blue sky, nobody else did this, that they would start false flagging terror bomb threats to black colleges ahead of staging an attack on them to blame on Trump supporters. But I said, after they start killing prominent Trump supporters. And they're going to say that then that was retaliation for that. Well, sure enough, the bomb threats and the calls closing all the black colleges yesterday, 2 days ago, is how dare you kill Charlie Kirk? We're white supremacists. So see, that makes him a white supremacist when he's not. They have their people false flag the calls in so then they can scare by at the campus and say, we're all having to flee because the white supremacist Charlie Kirk got killed and now his people are coming to kill us. And that's how you then sit there and try to manipulate people into that dialectic. And that's how this is done. Because remember, the talking point is Trump and Tom Homan, when they get in, are going to come kill black people en masse. Carville, you got to get your guns. Rise up. He's coming. You know, all of them. Oh, they're going to come kill migrants. Well, at a demonstration, shoot them up. Blame it on a Trump supporter. Yeah, okay? That's what they're pre-programming. That's what they're doing. That's what they're saying everywhere. And that's how you know what's coming next. And it's how exactly what I told you is now happening. Exactly. So this, everything points at the Democrats, at Soros, at the left, because they're the ones calling for violence. They're the ones in their magazines on the cover of the Portland, you know, newspapers, you know, trigger, trans, get them, kill them, you know, members of Congress and lieutenant governors and attorney generals wearing shirts, you know, saying, you know, trans rage and, you know, with knives and guns and all of this. I mean, these people are spun up and coming at us and they just want to keep pissing us off, pissing us off, pissing us off, pissing us off, so that when they false flag or they get a crazy to go do something, then they're going to totally play victim. Then they're going to activate the real hordes with the Antifa and the La Reconquistas and the Mecha and the La Raza and the TDA and the MS-13 and the Hezbollah and the Hamas and all of it. And they're going to burn this country to the ground. Everything you see in the movie Civil War, that's what they're planning. They don't show you the Civil War, what led to the race war and all the stuff. And then the states getting together, the blue states, to go against the Trump figure. It just starts at the end, starts in the third act. But that's the Podesta plan, folks. He published it. I mean, he's in command. August of 2020. And they said, if Trump, I know you've all heard it 1,000 times because it's the battle plan, people. If Trump wins, we're going to launch this. And then when they stole it, they tabled it. They said, now we're bringing the Podesta plan back again. We're living in the Podesta plan. 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 Okay. And all these hordes of trannies and communists and Muslims running around doing all of this. They are a real issue funded by the left, funded by the Rothschilds, funded by the globalists in this dialectic. I mean, you're looking for your, Netanyahu runs it all, and Netanyahu's terrible and should leave. He's at odds with the Rothschilds because he's actually taken over much of the command. And there's a battle, civil war from the Rothschilds and then the Likudniks. But the whole Rothschild thing is with the Muslims and with the invasion and with all the open borders and with replacement migration. You got to understand the layers to all of this. So. You just keep talking, Harrison, while the National Guard's over here. I'm going to walk over and see if they'll talk to us. While you're speaking, please continue.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I hope you're staying safe there, Alex. It looks like a beautiful day in Washington, D.C. And yeah, and I said this. I did an interview with Clint Russell yesterday, and I sort of elaborated it on there. I elaborated on it in that interview. The idea that, like, in a way, you know, especially sort of the first day when everything was blown up and my post was being spread everywhere, I was kind of like, yeah, crap. I kind of felt guilty being like, well, if they didn't do it, I don't want to be driving everybody off of the, and of course I didn't mean to. It was a post from a month ago. I couldn't possibly have known it was going to come back up and be relevant a month later. But in a way, so let us know if we're able to talk to them. I don't want to bring
it up. Yeah, they're talking to us, Harrison. Go in.
Okay.
Hey guys, I've talked to the Uber drivers, people in the shops, black, white, old, young, Indian. Everybody says the crime's gone down about 90%. They really appreciate you guys being out here.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Beautiful day.
It is.
Well, I don't feel threatened by you guys. I feel safer with good guys and gals with guns. And you know, that's why we need to get the Second Amendment really back in place here so the citizens can defend themselves as well. Where are you guys from? Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot hotter than Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
How long you been here?
3 weeks.
How long you think you're going to be here? No telling?
We can't disclose that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, all right. And have you guys run any problems?
Probably not really. A few times here and there. But...
Yeah, it seems like as soon as, you know, there was just more of a presence, things got a lot better. Well, it's too bad you guys have to be out here, but the Soros DAs and everybody defunding the police and not prosecuting criminals, that's the problem. But there's more federal prosecution, so that's good. Well, God bless you and be safe. Thanks for talking to us. Thank you. All right. Sorry, Harrison. I didn't know they were going to talk to us, so I just butted in there. I'll keep going, buddy. Go ahead.
No, that's great. And look, we're going to get into the Israel stuff later because Benjamin Netanyahu has now been, you know, forced to respond to this question. And I think that alone should maybe wake them up a little bit to just how bad their PR is in America at this point, that when the number one sort of Israel supporting, right winger gets killed and people think it's Israel, it's like, yeah, people really don't trust you guys. And, hopefully that's a wake up call to the PR for Israel. But as I made the point on the show with Chase yesterday, when I was on with him on the Alex Jones show, I said, like, you know, okay, maybe Israel did it, maybe he didn't. I really don't know. And it wouldn't be my first guess. It was only because of that old tweet, just totally coincidental, but Israel's not making, you know, your middle school teacher make a TikTok celebrating Charlie Kirk. Israel is not, you know, forcing your local, you know, chapter of your class president to dance around when on Charlie Kirk's grave. There's a much bigger issue being exposed here. And again, just how deep the hatred and the cynicism is in our fellow Americans, I think is shocking. And I think even people who generally understood how bad things are really shocked at how your average, normal, seemingly nice Democrat is just seething with hatred and is happy that Charlie Kirk, a father of two, was murdered in front of his children. There's a deep
Harrison,
sickness.
Harrison, I 100% agree with you. That's why you're such an amazing talk show host. And that's why whenever we argue about something in a debate, the viewers, I know most of them are adults, understand that's normal. That's what people do that are intellectual and intelligent. And sometimes you convince me of something, I convince you of something. The whole point is when these things are live and happening, we have to figure it out. But what you just said is the big key to all of this. In fact, I just stopped getting so frustrated by it because I just want to be accurate so when we criticize Israel, it's real and provable and we can nail them on it and stop it. But you're absolutely right. The fact now that a giant conservative nationalist who's been really pro-Israel, Israel tried to bully him into total submission and worship of everything they're doing and, you know, endorsing killing all the Gazans. And he said, "No, what? I'm done." And then they started chewing him out, going after him. And he said, "You know what? I'm independent. You don't run me. I was always just being nice to you." They never ran him. So, and I know Charlie well. He's his own man. And so the story is he starts criticizing Israel and starts, you know, exposing, you know, Epstein, Mossad and all that. And sure, we knew that 15, 20 years ago. But to his big audience, people are like, "Oh, now he's dead." That is a reasonable question to ask. I'm just saying when we look at all sides of it, then I'm not working for Israel because I'm saying we need to look at the other side of it. But what you said is the absolute key. Look at the PR of Israel. Gallup, Israel used to be one of the most popular countries in the world 20 years ago. It's now the most unpopular, seen as the most evil country in the world. Wow. The PR disaster. And they just, and the leadership doesn't care. And so now in America, literally, if a meteorite, you know, fell out of the sky and hit New York, Israel would be blamed because Israel was heavily involved in 9/11. But I mean, big time. Greg Reese just filed a great report you should air later, that, you know, it's all known information. We puts together really nice and short and sweet, about the bombs and all of it. So, it's reasonable to do that. I'm simply saying we need to also look at the leftist crazed dialectic that's going on out there. But yeah, total PR disaster. And it just should let Israel know that Netanyahu has to respond and do all this because people literally think that anything evil that ever happens only comes out of there. And in a way that shows the huge awakening and how people, you know, are just totally pissed off. But on the other side, then people can keep their eye on Israel, but there's all these other things going on as well that snake into that. And you can Absolutely. Say, well, that's all about BlackRock.
Alex, we're going to commercial break. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to stay with us or not, but Alex Jones is there live in Washington, D.C. We go to a quick commercial break here. We'll be back on the other side with more updates as to the assassination, the arrest, where it goes from here, what they're going to be doing to try to convict this guy. Lots more information coming in. Alex Jones live from D.C. Stay with us.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on, but we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to thealexshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. of the ultra methylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best RC Moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there. Limited time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount up of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum selling out, the capsules from Methylene Blue selling out, the Shilajit gummies are selling out, the IRC Moss capsules are selling out, and so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days, so take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, if your information's powerful, you want to get the Ultra Methylene Blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Those goblins single-handedly, but I couldn't have done it without the help of Ultimate Burn. Order yours now.
Fight the globalists and unlock maximum cognitive power with MK Ultra, an advanced neuroboost formula.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls very shortly, but we are live connected with Alex Jones and editor of the American Journal, his name's Reese, but a.k.a. the PSYOP cop there in front of the Washington Monument. How's it going there, Reese?
Yeah, well, this is Reese Moreno, badass editor, and he just turned out those National Guard were all listeners since they were kids. They're from Louisiana. They came over and wanted pictures with us. They said, oh, you can, you know, stay up here. We're your security. Everybody was running up thanking them. A lady said she couldn't even go to the grocery store, and she was Hispanic. And she was literally just shaking, thanking them that it's so safe now. You know, the troops know this is really just a soft launch for the riots and everything that's coming. And we had a little discussion. We'll get into, they didn't tell me anything secret. I already know everything more than they do because I'm dialed in. But the point is, Reese, tell folks just very interesting interactions there and what else you've been noticing.
Yeah, well, so this is actually my first time in Washington, D.C., so I'm getting a first glance at the revamped city, the city that's reborn, cleaned up by the Trump administration, and it's very powerful to witness. As I've been walking around here with Alex, I'm just looking at all the historical buildings, all the really beautiful monuments like the one right behind me, and I'm kind of just taken aback in a really good way as to just the history that this place is dripping with. And I kind of feel like this almost instinctual feeling, like as an American, like, yeah, this place needs to be protected. This place needs to be kept clean.
And tell them what the Uber driver was saying, like just trash everywhere, homeless tents, crime. It's all gone.
Yeah. So we were talking to the Uber driver who's taking us to our hotel last night. And he said he'd only been here about 10, 12 years or so. But he said that, man, like since Trump really started cracking down on the crime here, the city is completely transformed. As we were going down one of the big avenues here, he was pointing out, hey, man, look, this used to be lined with homeless tents, people passed out, people on drugs, people just shambling around.
So there were whole areas of the city he wouldn't even go in.
Exactly. And yeah, he said that there's whole areas of the city he wouldn't even dare to go in. He said that since Trump took over and since Trump cleaned this place up, 90% reduction.
I tell him about the troops wanted pictures and they're all awake. And
yeah, so as we've been shooting here for the show and a few reports, you've obviously seen we've got some National Guardsmen here. And they're really nice to us. You can tell they're definitely listeners, but they've got to maintain an air of professionalism. They're definitely looking out for us. But we got to talking to them, and as we were talking to them, we got people jogging and enjoying the beautiful day out here. But this woman took a moment to stop and actually thank them and said, hey, I really just want to express my gratitude for you guys being out here. This has utterly transformed the city. So grateful. It feels safer. It's a complete transformation. And that was really just a powerful moment to witness.
Absolutely. Well, great job, brother. I'm going to go do Bannon right now. Let me just say great job to the crew, all of them. And we love everybody. And I'm glad that the suspect, we basically confessed, is in custody. His dad's all public. Another leftist, crazed, pro-trans nutball. And they're out there and they're serious. We'll continue to investigate, track all this. God bless you, Charlie Kirk. Maybe you guys can play the AI piece. I think I sent it to you. Lady asked AI, what would Charlie Kirk do? It's very powerful. I just want to get that out on X with your commentary. And I love you, Harrison. And the reason I can bring this up, me and Harrison are great friends, have so much fun. There's constant wedge driving. When he says one thing and I say something different, they go, why is it the same? Well, I love his show, but I don't get to watch it every day. I watch it a little bit every day, sometimes all of it at night. But I'm always tuning in, sending them stuff. And people are like, well, Harrison's saying this, you're saying that. Yeah, we're not a cult, folks. It's okay. But I know he's a good guy. He's a smart guy. And he teaches me things. I teach him things. This isn't for Harrison needing to hear this. It's for other people. Because in the case of Owen, he got to where when I would say something different on air, from him, he thought it was me disagreeing with it. That happened with David Dyke. Very weird phenomenon. Where people like, I'm not censoring them, but I've got my speech. I can have my opinion. My opinion is not taking your opinion away. And again, Harrison didn't say it was Israel. If it's Israel, freaking report it the second. That's all I do. Shit. But I want to be accurate. That's what I'm doing. All right. Love everybody. Great job, Harrison. Follow me on X Real Alex Jones, Infowars.com/show. You're the Paul Revere's. People are really waking up right now. That's a really good thing. But the troops are soft launch here, knowing the big uprisings are coming. That's what this is really all about. God bless you all. Now back to the amazing American Journal.
Thank you, Alex. There's Alex live in Washington, D.C., continuing the info war as it expands. And yeah, it's just funny. It's the only way people present like what happens here on InfoWars as contentious or, is if they don't watch all the shows. If you just watch the shows, we're so upfront about everything. Honestly, that I assume that has to come across. You have to be able to, understand where we all come from, because the conversations that we have behind the scenes are the exact same that we have in front of the camera. So you just get full unadulterated truth with us. And I always say, like, when Alex and I disagree, my instinct is not to go, I'm right and Alex is wrong. My instinct, just in complete honesty, is to go, what does Alex know that I don't know? How am I getting this wrong? Just because Alex has a 30-year track record and I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. So, we're all just doing the best that we can out here and trying to get to the truth, while maintaining just the core InfoWars mission and value of Americana, liberty, truth, justice, freedom for everybody of every race, color, and creed, total, genuine universality of our love for everybody. And without that, you really go down a dark road. So just maintaining sort of the InfoWars ethos, the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, like that's our guiding light, and we pursue that. And then it's like, I find myself in this very strange position where I'm sure I've pissed off the president or the prime minister of Israel. I'd rather him never have known who I am, but okay. Very weird to be in this position. And in a way, you know, when something is as insane as Charlie Kirk being killed happens, it makes you question things. It makes you second guess and go, oh man, you know, have I been too harsh on people? You know, you question everything about that. But, you know, like I'm in reality of like, I have weirdly a good memory for things like stories. I can remember like how conspiracies unroll and all that sort of stuff. But when it comes to like normal life, I have a very bad memory. And so I almost have to have like an algorithm that I run to where like, I don't remember where I put something, but I can run the algorithm in my head and go, I know where I would have put that thing. And I go find that thing. This might be a weird way of explaining it, but it's like, I don't have a good enough memory to lie. I don't have a good enough memory to like maintain an illusion for any period of time. I pretty much have to tell the truth, and I have to just tell the truth every time, because then I'll be consistent. And so that's all we try to do. We just try to tell the truth and be totally upfront and raw and real with people, and not try to trick people, not try to pursue an alternative or a ulterior motive of any sort. Because then even if I accidentally end up in some hot water or end up getting a lot of tension that I didn't mean to, I got nothing to regret. I feel like I got nothing to regret, because I look back and I go, well, what am I supposed to do? Not say the truth? If I get in trouble for saying the truth, I don't take blame for that. If I was out here spreading hate and asking for violence and then something violent happened, I might go, oh, gee, I need to tone it back. But like, I've never called for violence. I don't call for violence. I specifically and genuinely denounce political violence from our side against the left. I want there to be legal repercussions for the left and their insanity. And so I feel like as long as we maintain these very strict guidelines of just like loving everybody and just wanting liberty for everybody and not falling into the trap of calling for violence or racializing things or going after groups of people based on their religion, you know, and demonizing all of them, you know, as long as we avoid that stuff, like I got nothing to regret. I got nothing to look back on and go, gee, I should have done that differently. All I did was tell the truth. I was talking this with my wife yesterday. Cause she's kind of freaked out. We were watching the video of Bibi Netanyahu responding. She's like holding her breath. She's like, I was afraid they were going to say your name. And it's like, you know, but I'm like talking to her and I'm like, well, you know, like, what am I supposed to do? Not tell the truth? I mean, that it happened. What am I supposed to say? Somebody told me that about Charlie Kirk. So I tweeted out because I thought it was important for people to know. I wasn't trying to like get attention because I'm like, oh, I want to build up my profile. So I'm like saying outrageous stuff. And then it comes back to haunt me and I'm like, oh, gee, I got the fame I wanted, but now I'm in trouble. Like I never even wanted fame. I'm just trying to tell the truth, and I've been put in this position. And I'm trying to fulfill my obligations in it. So again, it's like, I don't know any other media outlet that operates this way. And I'm just letting the audience know that's my logic and my reasoning is like, as long as I maintain these guide rails and keep my coverage centered on these beautiful and humanistic ideas, then I got nothing to regret, and I'll never have to, you know, look back at something I've said and cringe or, you know, feel like I've given justification for something that I don't actually believe. I just try to be very clear about all of it, but enough about us, enough about, all this. Let's get into some more videos and let's see what else has been revealed about this shooter, because there's been a lot of social media posts. People have dug in and found this guy and found out more about him. He, you know, one thing that we know we can take away, this absolutely was a politically motivated terroristic shooting. His family turned him in, which cannot have been an easy thing to do. And as much as, you know, there's a distinct difference, though, between turning in your son who just murdered a man and what we saw after January 6th, which was leftist weirdos turning in their parents for merely participating in a protest. And, you know, while on one side, I completely condemn and have a real visceral hatred for people that, you know, would turn their family in or really snitch, you know, for self-gain or because they are more loyal to their disgusting satanic ideology than their own flesh and blood. Like, I really abhor that. But in this case, you know, turning in your son in order to try to both bring justice for the horrific murder that he committed and to hopefully calm the waters. And I think, you know, having this assassin in custody, and if he confesses, I mean, you know, I I think that was a very admirable and could not have been an easy thing for his family to do. So God bless them for having to do that. And they must feel very scared right now, as well. But it appears as though they were sort of more right wing. Looks like he was raised around guns. People are posting pictures of him, you know, posing with big machine guns and stuff. We do have his, mugshot of 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, suspect arrested in connection with the killing of Charlie Kirk. Apparently had a 4.0 GPA in middle school and won a scholarship to Utah State University. Appears to have had a normal and happy childhood. He apparently was pretty smart, getting good grades. Mother is a social worker. Father appears to have worked at a flooring and countertop company, according to Michael Schellenberger. He usually has good information, although what we've heard is that he worked for the father worked for the sheriff's department for a long time. They say the father, Matt, is a 27-year veteran of the Washington County Sheriff's Department. According to the Daily Mail, however, Michael Schellenberg says that he's a flooring and countertop installer. So that's some conflicting information, but I guess they could both be true. Charlie's killer wrote, "Hey, fascist, catch on a bullet." He told people close to him that Charlie spread hate. The killer used the exact same language that the radical left and media use all about America First Patriots. It's not a coincidence. He was radicalized. And, of course, as the crew was showing the footage from the Minnesota shooter's manifesto and the YouTube video they uploaded, I'd forgotten that the whole front of their diary was covered in Luigi stickers. Obviously, a homage to Luigi Mangione. And, you know, we identified that as soon as Luigi Mangione, the killing of, by Luigi Mangione happened. You know, for like a split second, it was sort of like, well, is this a good, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people on the right that are like, hey, man, you know, some people are going to have to get their hands dirty and like, you can't shy away from that. And it's like, no, from the very beginning, we were like, this is just wrong, flat out. And again, it's like, I don't know. I wonder if people out there on the right who were celebrating Luigi Mangione are now seeing all of these copycat killers, you know, doing the same style as him, carving things on their bullet, putting the Luigi stickers, celebrating him. I mean, I wonder if now they look back and go, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have celebrated that. Maybe that wasn't such a cool thing that I shouldn't have celebrated. And it's one of those things, again, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday, where it was like, as long as you just have this good moral center, where you just look at things objectively and you just go, he killed a father of two. There's absolutely nothing that justifies that. Oh, but he was a CEO of healthcare. So what? So it's like, not only is it evil and wrong and you can just denounce it on that, even if I agreed with the reason he was killed, even if I thought it was somehow a move in the right direction, you have to be both evil and stupid to do something like that. Evil, because you're going to kill an innocent man who never did anything to you. Cowardly, evil. But also stupid in that, what do you think the second order effects of this are going to be? Do they shut down the healthcare company? Do they realize their mistake and start suddenly, you know, allowing for all of the treatments that they weren't allowing for either? Or do all of the other CEOs, all of the surviving executives, get big bonuses so they can get security so they never have to interact with anybody on street level ever again because it's not safe? So it's like, not only is what you did just evil on the face of it, on a moral, basic human level, it's wrong and should be condemned for that. But even if I agreed with what you were trying to do, you're stupid for trying to do it this way, and it's only going to backlash, and it's only going to backfire, and you're only empowering the very people you're trying to fight, and you're only helping and elevating and separating from the rest of us the very people that you think you're bringing down. This is an aspect of the third worldism that is encroaching on civilization itself from every different direction. And I said it then, and I'll say it now. When Luigi Mangione happened, my response was, this is third worldism. This is the descent into assassination as a political tool. And there is no bottom to this incline that we are now careening down. There is no level at which civilization collapses because there's too many assassinations. Mexico, the country right next door to us, has like hundreds of assassinations every election season. Every election season in Mexico, hundreds of people are murdered. Candidates for mayors, election workers. It is a bloodbath. Is that the country we want to live in? Because that's where we're headed, and that's where this reciprocal violence gets us. Do you want to live in a country where you got to bribe everybody, where everybody's corrupt, where everybody who knows the judge gets away with it, and everybody who doesn't gets convicted, and law and order has nothing to do with the outcome of the trial? Is that the country we want to live in? Because that is where we're headed. Maxine Cannon assassinations hit grim record ahead of Sunday's election. This was from 2024. And in one of the recent election cycles, it was like over 100. It was like 175 murders all around this election of candidates for mayor and governor and all this stuff. And it's like the beauty of America, the power of America, the promise of America is that we don't have a country where you have to resort to violence, because we have ways to change things without that being the case. Deliberately and specifically set up by our founders to provide an outlet for political energy so that we don't have to kill each other and we don't have to create interlocking gangs of influence so that we can just afford ourselves justice. We have a system where everybody gets justice and where you can be sitting at the diner next to a billionaire and you're both treated exactly the same and you're both subject to the same laws, and all of the money and all of the wealth in the world doesn't elevate him one inch above you in the moral architecture of our government. That's going to change if they get killed going out in the street. They're not going to go out on the street anymore. They're going to, you know, hop from helicopter to helicopter and be surrounded by armed guards, and they're going to be elevated like you see in every third world country. The people at the top are totally disconnected from everybody else, and that is where we're headed. And it's the very people that decry income inequality and the 1% that are the ones driving us headlong towards this bifurcation of society and this, you know, tyranny of the elite. So evil and stupid. You have to be both evil to do it and stupid to think it's going to work. All right. So why we didn't respond more forcefully with Luigi Mangione, I don't know. Why we treated him like a supervillain and gave him the, you know, most incredible photo ops you could ever imagine, like he's the Joker in a Batman movie. I mean, why we didn't crack down on the support of this guy as a symbol of violent, senseless murder. I don't know. I don't know why we didn't crack down on that more. I hope we learned our lesson now, and I hope that we continue to come to terms with like where we really are in this country, who we're really surrounded by, what they really believe about us. And, you know, maybe I'll just take a moment now in the midst of all of this to just go back to Charlie Kirk. Let's just go to Charlie Kirk here. Clip number three, Charlie Kirk did not fear death. Here's Charlie Kirk displaying exactly why he was such a powerful, beloved figure on the right and a despised figure on the left. Let's watch.
Goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage, for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you face God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Well, you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. Mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians figure out what that is. Or grace. What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound. Which is, as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so that they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior of the world, to be born new and to be completely and totally renewed. That's a gift that we must try to give all people in the world.
I mean, I've had an unbelievably blessed life. Been doing this now. It'll be 12 years on June 5th.
Such a young man to do it.
So young.
Yeah, so praise God. I mean, I've been all across the world. I've met with world leaders. I've flown in Air Force One, got to know a president. I have an amazing family. The podcast, Turning Point USA, is all that stuff. And so you experience that, and you're like, what actually matters? What matters is your relationship with the divine, your relationship with your family, your kids, and maybe a close collection of friends, and your relationship with the truth. And you could decide to lie all the time, then you become a tortured individual, and you know those people. You just turn on television, they're constantly lying, and they just become like disfigured either emotionally, spiritually, or physically. Because when you lie, I believe you're actually committing suicide of the soul. I really believe that.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner. Gave my life to Christ. Most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There's not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life, your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live. And for those of you that have not given your life to Christ, I could tell you it is the most freeing, liberating thing that a human being can possibly do. The most important thing that you can do, which is to be born new into the kingdom of God.
And honestly, I mean, that is genuinely why he was hated, why he was despised. There's something very powerful about somebody genuinely faithful and just going into the lion's den of campus universities. I saw somebody else posted where they're like, yeah, you can imagine how much they hated Charlie Kirk. These people have spent decades and decades and billions of dollars building an indoctrination network in American universities. And then this kid comes in, sets up a tent and destroys it all in an afternoon. They can't have that. They can't allow that, because that's what Charlie Kirk did. And again, the miraculous accomplishment of making conservatism cool, of holding events with thousands of young, energetic people excited about Christianity and conservatism in America in 2025, nothing short of miraculous what Charlie Kirk pulled off. And I admit, I regret not appreciating him as much as I should have. It's such a bitter pill to swallow, knowing that, like, you have had the opportunity to really support that guy more, and I didn't, and I should have. And seeing the videos of him now just convinced me of what a real deal he was, and what just a horrible tragedy this whole thing has been.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West Awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense, Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time, get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our ultimate life force blood detox. It's all there. at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Line has been crossed and everything's different, and I don't know. But let me suggest a few things that might change. Number one, I saw Mike Cernovich helpfully point out that this would be a good time for congressional hearings now, he said in a post on X. He goes, every billionaire funding far-left wing extremism, Soros, Bill Gates, Reid Hoffman, massive RICO investigation now. Every dollar accounted for, every pass-through group's financial records public. What do you think of that? Now, you might say, well, you know, why haven't they done that anyway? You know, why don't we know by now everything that's happening in these NGOs? We know a lot, and we know that they're corrupt money laundering organizations, but maybe even go bigger and just make all NGOs illegal, unless they've gone through some specific kind of vetting process. Just make them all illegal. You know, not permanently. You know, you say, all right, you could be illegal, you could be legal, but you're going to have to answer all these questions in writing, you know, who's in charge and what'd you do and what'd you do with the money. You'd have to agree to be audited, you know, stuff like that. So I'm 100% in favor of the government going way more aggressive on RICO investigations for this massive criminal enterprise called Democrats. Would it work? Well, remember, the Democrats have really good lawyers and lots of them. So probably it would just get all tied up in the courts for 100 years until Trump was out of office and it all went away. But it's one thing we could do. It's one thing we could do. And I'll tell you one thing that's changed is risk tolerance. When one of your own, and by the way, I take this very personally. I didn't know Charlie personally. My only fleeting connection was he once invited me on his podcast. And I thought I was going to be dead in a few weeks, so I didn't return his message. So I never talked to him. But it's still personal. This one's personal because I consider myself a brother in arms, meaning that we were in the same war, in the same platoon. I just didn't know him personally. So the fact that he got taken out, oh, that's personal. That's personal. And so when that happens, my personal risk profile gets adjusted. When I say, oh, you mean there's a chance I'll be shot? All right. Then RICO every one of these motherfuckers to the ground. I wouldn't have wanted to, you know, destroy the country by going after the billionaires and really making it that overtly political. And it would be massive destruction. Now I'm all in. I'm all in for the massive destruction. Yep, it's risky. Let's do it. Because it's something we can do. It's not directly related to Charlie, but it changes my risk tolerance. And I'm all in now. I believe the Democrat Party has to be totally dismantled. I wouldn't have said that 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I would have said the healthiest thing for the country is that there are two strong political parties battling it out in a war of ideas. But you know who else thought that? Charlie fucking Kirk. He thought that we could talk it out. His whole model was based on polite debate and doing it in public so everybody could see it. That didn't work. He got shot to death. So now we just need to destroy the entire Democrat Party. Legally, not illegally, not with guns, legally. But I am no longer content with the Democrat Party existing in its current form with its current supporters. It could be reconstituted into something honest, but at the moment, I think it needs to be ripped out by the roots. Now, that will be very bad for the country. It will make us, at each other's throats and,
no, I think it'd be a good thing for the country. I think it'd be a very good thing for the country. This article from the Federalist makes the case in a brilliant way. The Democrat Party is a domestic terrorist organization. And of course, is Scott Adams making that point, as Mike Cernovich is, as any thinking Republican recognizes, now is not the time for mercy and half measures.
Go to theolliveshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life, 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best Irish sea moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. Also, free $10 ultimate fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? Just another giant discount up of everything. If you want to get the bovine colostrum, ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com.
Breaking through the censorship barrier, one truth at a time. You're listening to The American Journal.
Welcome back, folks. You know, as I was just thinking about it, there's so many reasons why this assassination of Charlie Kirk is such an inflection point, such a powerful symbol that is causing such visceral reaction. Obviously, it's the imagery, the violent video where you can see it in gruesome detail. There's the fact that this guy was so moderate, so respectable, so not an extremist. CJ was saying during the break, you know, you see people on Instagram basically going, you know, Charlie Kirk wasn't out there enough to be a martyr. He's not going to be a martyr. People are going to forget about him. And just how utterly wrong they are, how warped their perspective is on everything when it comes to the right wing, on what we believe, on who believes what. Like, they're just out to sea on this stuff. And in fact, that is an important point to make because it shows how clearly the media is responsible for this radicalization. Because if you were being radicalized just based off of what people say, you would never be radicalized against Charlie Kirk, because he didn't say things even remotely as offensive or objectionable as 90% of other people on the right wing. If you were motivated just to go out and get the worst of the worst on the right wing, the actual fascists out there, you would never go after Charlie Kirk. But he's the one that the media radicalized people against because he was so effective. Again, if it was somebody motivated by anti-fascist ideology and was going after, you know, somebody else who was an actual fascist or, you know, one of these provocateurs, then, you know, maybe you could say, well, he just genuinely felt this way. But the fact that he went after Charlie Kirk is evidence that he's being led by the media, that his target was identified by forces above him. And he was radicalized in that direction because of how effective Charlie Kirk was. Not because he was the worst, not because he was such a bad person, but because he was effective in destroying the leftist narrative, in eradicating the monopoly they had on college campuses. I think it's so important now. I don't know who's going to lead, but somebody's got to step up and take over TPUSA. First person in my mind would be somebody like Jack Posobiec, but like they need to keep that going. It has been such a force for good. It has been such a powerful, unifying, cool organization in America that has changed the way politics operates in this country. It cannot go down with Charlie Kirk, honestly. So I don't know what they're going to do next. They're probably in a very tenuous situation at this point. I think they need a leader they can trust. They got to replace Charlie Kirk with somebody capable of living up to his personality. But all this is to say, there's so many reasons why this one hits differently. He was such a good guy. He so didn't deserve it. He was just the worst target for the left to pick. He accomplished so much at so young. But worst of all, I think, is the future they've stolen from us. I have no doubt in my mind that Charlie Kirk would be a leading contender for president maybe as soon as 2028. And I think that, probably more than anything else, is why he was targeted. It's why assassination is such a convenient tool in politics. With one bullet, I remember saying this when the assassination attempt at the baseball game happened. If that had succeeded, you can't replace a Rand Paul and a Steve Scalise and a Thomas Massie. Like, if an assassin takes out five prominent Republican senators, I mean, that shifts the political landscape for the next two decades. Like, it is such a major blow to the movement that these people represent. And thank God it didn't work there. But with Charlie Kirk, God only knows what potential he had, what he could have achieved, the change he could have brought about, and that's what they've stolen from us. So on top of everything else he's already done, it's the future that we'll no longer have that really is crushing, I think, and is infuriating, because we don't even know what's been stolen from us. All we know was that it would have been something great. Tyler Robinson. Again, we'll bring you more information as we get it. I do want to open up the phone lines for your calls. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Now, we do have topics beyond Charlie Kirk that, again, if this hadn't happened, we would be spending a lot of time looking into, including the fact that Nepal apparently just overthrew their government and then organized a new government on Discord. And that's how they're going to operate from now on. Totally crazy. Gen Z activists basically burned down their government buildings, beat up or lynched their leadership, got on Discord, figured out who was going to be in charge, and now the army in Nepal has pledged loyalty to that leader and has said, okay, this is legit. If this is the way we want to do things, I guess we're a Discord government now. Crazy. Like, totally incredible developments there. So in any other timeline, we would be getting into that to a very, very large degree. We also have statements from Ursula von der Leyen at the EU about the danger of disinformation and more speech controls in that enslaved continent at this point. Let's go to clip number two here. Again, this is so surreal to me. And it should be surreal for everybody, I think. And we're about to see Bibi Netanyahu be asked about whether Israel killed Charlie Kirk. And I don't think he was ready for this question. You're about to see Bibi Netanyahu panic. That's what you're about. You're about to see him short circuit and start spouting out. It's like a computer program. It gets like overwhelmed and then just like reverts to basic functions. It's like, okay, just run emergency protocol one while we figure this out. For them, emergency protocol one is to bring up blood libels from the Middle Ages as if that has anything to do with the current accusation. I mean, I can't believe what you're about to watch. I can't believe that this actually happened on TV, and that by complete accident, I'm pretty sure I caused this. It's crazy. It's completely crazy. But I'm pretty sure by a shocking number of coincidences, somehow my tweet has led to Bibi Netanyahu being completely at a loss and bumbling and mumbling and confusedly bringing up all these things that don't matter. I mean, it's crazy. Let's go to clip number two. Here's Bibi Netanyahu being asked, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, being asked whether he killed Charlie Kirk. Let's watch.
Before I let you go, I want you to address one thing, and I've just the absurdity of it. Some of the internet rumors that somehow Israel is behind the Charlie Kirk murder, and you know I don't believe it for one second. But I want you to make a statement. It's so absurd.
That's insane. That's insane. Israel also changes the orbit of the moon. Israel pushes the sun. I mean, the whole thing is. It's not only insane. I think it's so absurd, so stupid, and so ridiculous. You can't believe that people
are saying this.
Is it BB? They just found the perpetrator.
Can we pause it? I'm sorry. I wanted to let the whole thing play through. I don't know if I've ever seen BB like this. He's usually so, I mean, his whole thing is projecting this air of confidence. Of just, I'm just going to smack down everybody who comes up. And he's just like, do we move the moon too? I mean, this is crazy. That's so crazy. I don't even know. I mean, is the sun rising? What? And it's like, okay, calm down. All right, calm down, sir. Calm down. Okay. Is that how ridiculous this is? I mean, do you think we're stupid? Yeah, I mean, Israel using targeted killings and assassinations to progress a geopolitical agenda? What? I've never heard of such a ridiculous suggestion. Oh, really? For sure. What time is it? It's about 10:16. You've probably killed 100 people today in Gaza by sniper fire. So, what are we talking about? How ridiculous is this exactly? I don't think he was expecting this question. I don't think he was expecting to be accused of it ever. And I definitely don't think he was expecting it to be dropped on him right now because he has nothing. And he starts stammering out bullshit about poisoning wells in the Middle Ages as if that has anything to do with this. And again, there is absolutely nothing even remotely odd about Israel using targeted assassinations overseas against their perceived enemies, even people who are mostly friend with them, but represent a, unfortunate obstacle in their immediate path. I mean, there's a guy in, there's a guy in Sweden. I think he was like the prime minister of Sweden, but he was crucial in getting, Israel founded in the first place. And he like personally saved like tens of thousands of Jews from the Holocaust. But then he like didn't think that they should have the West Bank or something. So they killed him. And it's one of these like, wait, he saved 10,000 Jews he put his own life at risk to save 10,000 Jews from the Nazis. And then like the year after the war ended, they killed him because he was against Israel, something Israel wanted to do. This is such a well-established historical fact of Israel. Royal who saved thousands of Jews from Nazis was killed by Zionists. Here's why. Oh, but what do we control the moon too? Oh, we were in charge of the sun also? I mean, Israel killing a person that this is crazy. It's so outrageous, these claims. I'll admit, on the face of it, it would be outrageous for Israel to kill their number one soldier in America. You might want to think about that and what that means for how Israel is perceived around the world. The number one Zionist influencer in America gets killed and Israel is the first person people blame. You might want to think about your PR, how you're being perceived, that for the vast majority of the American public, we don't think anything is past you people. We don't think anything is beyond, the pale when it comes to the nation state of Israel. It doesn't matter what you do. We're going to blame you because more often than not, we'll be right. I really think this should be a wake-up call to Israel that, like, they got to change their tack, man. Like Alex said, like, if a meteor falls, we're going to blame it on Israel. And for good reason. And by the way, and I posted it, I should have pulled it in case you haven't seen it, but we've played it many times on this show. The Mossad agent on CBS News saying, we are the screenwriters. We control the world. Everybody else is just watching our grand display of power. And it's like, oh, so did you kill Charlie Kirk? And they're like, what? Us? No, never. It's like, all right, well, if you don't want people thinking that, maybe don't go around bragging that that's what you do, idiots. Of course, I don't believe that anyway. I think that whole Mossad agent on CBS thing was a Machiavellian attempt to impose your authority on everybody by acting like you're in charge. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do, blame people for taking you seriously? We create a pretend world. We are a global production company. The world is our stage. Okay, so you killed Charlie Kirk? What? How dare you? How could you even say that about us? Spare me. Okay, let's go back. Let's revel in this. Let's enjoy this. Bibi Netanyahu being at a loss for words, tripping over himself, desperately trying to come up with a reason why it wasn't Israel that killed Charlie Kirk. And what he's come up with so far is, you might as well accuse us of moving the moon. Okay, great, Bibi. These are equal, right? Israel killing a person or Israel being in charge of the moon. I mean, you got both are equally crazy, right, Benjamin? These people are panicking. It's hilarious. Let's go back.
It's... I think it's so absurd, so stupid, and so ridiculous. You can't believe that people are saying that. They just found the perpetrator. They'll get to the bottom of this. But they go, you know, they have no limits. When you hate Jews, when you hate the Jewish state, you're willing to say anything and promote all these absurd rumors. Oh,
they're just so crazy.
And by the way, they're willing to kill us all the time. I mean, that's what they do. And you know, over the centuries when Jews, especially in the Middle Ages, the horrific Middle Ages, the worst things were said about Jews you couldn't possibly believe. We were poisoning the wells. We were drinking the blood.
What are you talking about, Netanyahu? I'm sorry, can we pause it again? I'm telling you, is this the response of a man who has things in hand who had a prepared answer for this? Oh, you go back to the Middle Ages. The horrible Middle Ages is like, oh, what, were you there, BB? He's like, I remember the Middle Ages when they would accuse us of all sorts of stuff. It's like, oh, is this blood libel? I mean, usually they're a little bit more tactful than this, a little bit more subtle than this. Hey, you know, Israel had a motive for killing Charlie Kirk. Oh, wow, so you want to kill all Jews? What? I'm sorry. What the hell are you talking about? No. What? No, I said, I think the state of Israel and their well-established, well-documented, well-publicized campaign of assassinations that have been a hallmark of their foreign policy for the last 50 years might have had a hand in this high-profile assassination of somebody who had recently come out very much against Israel's actions in exposing the association of Jeffrey Epstein and others. So what does that have to do with Jews exactly? What does that have to do with poisoning wells in the Middle Ages, you absolute freak? What are you talking about? I'm sorry, let's go back to how suggesting that Israel might just want to commit assassinations is equivalent to blood libels about Jews poisoning wells in the Middle Ages, which, I mean, the more they reference this, the more I'm like, is that true too then? I mean, I don't know. They lie about everything else, and every time they're caught in a lie, they reference the blood libels. It's like, well, why are you comparing those things? By the way, people have asked Grok about the targeted killing campaign of Israel. And look, again, if you wanted to learn about this, read a book called Rise and Kill First by Ronan Bergman, I think his name is. I think they actually have it here. Yeah, Ronan Bergman's Rise and Kill First. In that book, he has firsthand interviews with Mossad agents, and he details 2,700-plus targeted killing operations. So, and he goes into the history, how basically they developed this concept of targeted killing. They then trained the CIA and others how to do it. Like, it's all actually historically documented. That it's like, they're like, the CIA has documentation where they're like, yes, we got training in the targeted killing operations from Israel on how to use it, when to use it, where it's useful, where it's not, what effects it has. I mean, Israel developed this tactic. But oh my God, how dare they even suggest? By the way, you know, Israelis are currently today poisoning wells in Palestine to drive the people off the land. There's video of it. Like last week, there was a video of Israelis poisoning a well to deprive the Palestinians of water to force them off their land. But the Middle Ages were so bad. Sorry, let's go back to the sputtering idiot Benjamin Netanyahu as he scrambles to try to say that questioning the current nation state of Israel's despicable actions, killing their enemies, is basically like a second Holocaust. Let's watch.
We're drinking the blood of Christian children. You name it. I mean, these things that continued
crazy
up to the Holocaust. The Nazis said the same thing.
Oh, did
you
they?
You know, we're carrying vermin. We're spreading disease.
I'm sorry, you were asked about Charlie Kirk, sir?
It, and every time they believed that this was a prelude to a greater and greater massacre.
Okay, so questioning you means that we want to kill you and that you're all going to die. So we were not allowed to question you? Sorry, I'm missing your point.
When people spread these lies about us, prepare yourself for the assault. And, you know, they're trying to delegitimize the state of Israel. Charlie Kirk said to me that, he wrote me this detailed letter, you have to fight the slander. These untruths, these vilifications have consequences. And he was right. But I'll tell you one thing. We're fighting on the battlefield against the terrorists and winning.
Uh-huh.
And
how?
He was fighting
how
on the battlefield
that?
Of ideas.
You shoot them with a gun?
And I think he was winning. He was going to win. That's why they shot him.
Mm.
I hope they don't silence him. I don't think people will give in to these ridiculous lies.
Just ridiculous. Look, I didn't think it was Israel before that. That was the craziest answer I've ever heard. I guess it's the same answer they always give, but like, I mean, come on. What the hell was that? Hey, did you kill Charlie Kirk? I will go out in the street and ask a random person, hey, did you kill Charlie Kirk? What do you think their answer is going to be? No, what the hell are you talking about? Who are you? What is happening here? I've never killed anybody. What they're not going to do is to start a rambling 3-minute answer about how this is the Holocaust again. It is such a crazy, defensive, sputtering, incoherent answer from Benjamin Netanyahu. Did you kill Charlie Kirk? Well, what? You're going to say I moved the moon next? When am I in control of the sun? What next? Are you trying to kill me? Do you want to kill me and my family? Is that what's happening? And it's like, whoa, dude. You could have just said no. Kind of weird that you felt the need to go so far with that answer. But okay, sir. So, I think that's my greatest accomplishment to date. I think that answer from Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm going to have to like print out a screenshot and mount it on the wall or something. Cause I don't even know if Israel did it. That's never even been my position that it was definitely Israel, but because of the tweet I did a month before, there was a chain reaction of totally, you know, unpredictable coincidences. We now have Benjamin Netanyahu sputtering and incoherent as he was directly asked whether he killed Charlie Kirk, which again, if nothing else, Israel should be like, this is bad. This is bad. This is really bad. The number one Zionist influencer gets killed and Israel gets the blame. Do you guys have any idea how the most of the world thinks about you at this point? Israel, you murderous psychopaths, as you continue to slaughter and starve children. And now the EU, by the way, just announced they're ending their support of Israel. They're saying we are putting it on an indefinite hold. We are no longer supporting Israel in any way because they're using famine as a tactic of war. And that's completely unacceptable. What is Israel going to do? They just lost the EU. They're losing America. You maybe should have listened to us, you know, us crazy anti-Semites. When 2 years ago we were going, this is bad. Israel is going to get major blowback for this. They need to stop killing everybody now before they suffer the consequences. And we were told we were hateful idiots, and now we're proven right. You're welcome.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on, because 80% of the funding goes into legal, because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theolivesshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum is selling out. The capsules for methylene blue is selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information is powerful? You want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheYellowstoneStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. No wasting time. Here we go, directly out to your phone calls. Josh in Georgia first. Thanks for calling in, Josh. You're on line 7. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, sir. You're going to be missed. Good luck in your new time slot. But I want to know, do you remember the first thing you said Wednesday morning on air?
No.
That's extraordinary, and I hope your guys got the clip pulled up. You said, I've got a bad feeling about today. Something big's going to happen. You said that.
Yeah. Interesting. I was not thinking Charlie Kirk. I got to say, because I think what I was talking about then was just the protest movements rising up and how I was worried about a big false flag getting us into war. But, I mean, things have been insane the last couple of days. That is interesting though. I didn't realize that I said that.
Yeah. On Wednesday, I wanted to call in because you made the comment that, you know, with this whole, calling the Israel deal, you didn't know if God had his hand on you. And I immediately thought of that and said, if you don't think God has his hand on you, he told you, essentially something's fixing to happen. But the reason I called is, you also asked that day, you know, what do we do? Mm. And the left is really good at punching you in the face and saying, well, Jesus said, turn the other cheek, while right. They keep punching you. But they forget because they're, you know, they only pick and choose and they don't know their Bible. Jesus also said there at the end, sell your cloaks and buy swords.
Right.
And I'm not talking about in an offensive way, in a defensive way. Sell your cloaks and buy swords. This is a spiritual war. There is demonic possession is the only reason this happened, and demonic possession is the only reason these people are going out on social media cheering this. It's not them cheering it. It's the demons cheering it, because Charlie was an evangelist on the level of what's his name? The biggest evangelist ever. You know,
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
Pat Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, Billy Graham. He was an evangelist. He was a quiet evangelist. And he only spoke the truth of the Bible. He wasn't hateful toward anyone. So they had to silence him because that light truth brings out the cockroaches. You know, it brings out the demons and it sends them scurrying. The only hope they have is to silence. The only hope they have is to kill.
100%. And again, that is the sort of most shocking thing about all of this. And again, I was talking to my wife for a long time about this yesterday, and you know, she just started watching Charlie Kirk because, you know, one of his ads popped up on YouTube and she started watching it, and she's totally like apolitical. Like, she doesn't care about politics. She's just naturally conservative, but she doesn't pay attention to politics and doesn't really watch a lot of political information. And she, you know, a lot of stuff we cover is way too like blackpilling for her. She just don't want anything to do with it, which is why I like her, because I don't want to talk about politics when I'm at home. But she's been watching Charlie Kirk and like, and you know, is just, I don't know, like really genuinely heartbroken, because he's just like, all he talked about was like family, and all he was respectful, and he treated everybody nicely. He listened to everybody. All he talked about was family and God, and these people hate him. Like, what is wrong with these people? They're so sick. You could not have picked a better man to demonize. There's nothing there. I mean, hell, you can say Trump is kind of, he's like out there and he's got some stuff in his past that it's kind of sleazy. Like, not Charlie Kirk, man. Not Charlie Kirk. He was a family man. He was respectable. He was respectful of the people that he talked with. And yet they have these leftists thinking he's the devil incarnate. It really is sick what they've done to him.
Well,
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Final thought.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, the only thing they did was they thought they would extinguish one light, but they turned that one light into a nuclear bomb.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I've not grieved over somebody I knew. I mean, I'm still like yesterday when you were like, I don't know if I could do the show. It immediately started bawling my eyes out, and it hasn't stopped. And you know, that clip you played of Charlie talking about grace. You know, I thought it was over. I thought today, okay, I'm in a calm rage. No, I'm still in it. And
oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people are. Even people are like, you know, who used a week ago would say, oh, Charlie Kirk, you know, Zionist or whatever beef they had, they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And
no, you're exactly right. I do want to go to some other calls here, but I completely agree. I cannot watch a video of him with his kids. I can't do it. It's too brutal. Thanks for the call. Joshua, let's go to Robert in Tampa now. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the air about the shooting suspect here.
After listening to Benjamin Netanyahu call you out and say words have consequences, I would really watch your back. I truly believe that this is another PSYOP that they're perpetrating on the American people. Like, we're supposed to believe, allegedly, this kid shot Charlie. I think this was all staged. I think the J3W5s are totally involved in it. Who benefits from his death? Ben Shapiro takes over TPUSA. You know that guy's probably hated Charlie Kirk because of the amount of attention that he got. So I don't believe in for a second. Way too fast for them to catch him. But I also believe that Project Echelon, I talked to Rob Dew last night about this, they got satellite footage. They can go back and find exactly who was on there, track them all the way back, where they left, all that stuff, and know exactly who did it. And for it to go to Trump and immediately do a press conference, they already know who did it. And they're doing this as another Lee Harvey Oswald, in my opinion.
Well, then the next step in that case would be he gets killed in turn. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I mean, the fact that they caught him alive, I'm shocked by it. I would have thought we would have gotten the same, you know, outcome as Thomas Crooks or Stephen Paddock. We'd get one gruesome picture of his dead body, and that would be it. So the fact they caught him alive kind of changes the whole, you know, paradigm for me. I'm shocked at this development. I guess we'll wait to see what happens next. Thank you for the call, Robert. Let's go to Lacey in Oklahoma now. Thanks for calling in, Lacey. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to know, has anyone said yet, all the way that those people were celebrating, it just seemed to me like they kind of already knew this was going to happen. And with all the other evidence coming out, like things being posted 19 hours before it actually happened, is there going to be any investigation in that? Because I feel like they knew. They were waiting for it. So just kind of curious about that. And then I don't believe anything Netanyahu says. This definitely is a spiritual war. And I think when you leave God out of the equation, not only do, you know, we can't get things done right, but bringing God into the equation also will get you killed. So I'm a little really devastated for Charlie and his family and wanted to say God bless you guys and hope y'all stay safe. And that was kind of all I had. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I see people online making the claim. I genuinely hope it's true that, like, people are really, like, waking up because of Charlie Kirk and being like, you know, I'm going to start going to church from now on. I'm going to, you know, I haven't been really serious about having a family, but I've been watching a bunch of Charlie Kirk, you know, stuff over the last 24 hours. And I think I'm, you know, I'm ready to make the commitment. You know, Jeremy from The Quartering was saying this. I saw Alexopoulos, G Prime, 85. Was saying the same thing. And I think, you know, I can't speak for Charlie, but I think if that was the outcome, if this Sunday church attendance is 50% higher than it was the Sunday before, let's go to clip 32 here.
She's trying to get out the visual and the idea of assassinating Donald Trump. This is where this is headed. I hope everyone understands whether it be Julius Caesar, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Bobby Kennedy. Assassinations of major political leaders are nothing new. And yet we've kind of been immune to that for a couple of decades. We have been warning about this for months. Now, the very interesting question is, will they try to kill Joe Biden or Donald Trump? That's the interesting question. Which one right now is a bigger threat to them? And that I'll let the audience kind of ruminate on that question. But we've been warning about this for quite some months. This is why the next man up philosophy is so important and why we wanted to do the show with you, Steve, as a show of force, is that you take one out, 100 more appear. You take one out, 1,000 more appear. You take one out, 10,000 more appear. You take one out, we give more money. You take one out, we register more voters. You take one out, is that it only actually makes us stronger. You see, there are three different ways to analyze political movements or to categorize them. There are the fragile, the durable, and the anti-fragile. This is from Nassim Taleb, which is a phenomenal book. The fragile is the Mitt Romney Republican Party. That is the Paul Ryan Republican Party. You say one bad word about them, they collapse, they bend the knee, they surrender, and they're relentlessly apologizing and they're spineless. Then there is the durable. The durable is the best of the conservative movement prior to Donald Trump. That would be the conservative movement that always held on and they put up a good point, fight, had some fortitude, but didn't quite have enough to be able to endure the grind or the slog of the activist regime media. And then there is the anti-fragile. I encourage everyone to read the book Anti-Fragile. In the book Anti-Fragile, Nassim Taleb argues that there are unique people, organizations, movements, restaurants, companies that actually get stronger the more pressure and opposition that is applied upon them. And when you find an anti-fragile movement, that their life force is actually what ends up being opposition. That is Donald Trump. Has anyone noticed that Donald Trump looks younger, stronger, more full of life and vitality after the indictments than before the indictments? Yes. It gives him purpose, reason of being. It gives him a telos, as the Greekers would say, or a teleological purpose for existence. This movement that we are part of right now, that historians will write about for the next 1,000 years. Let me say that again. This movement that you are part of will be written about for the next millennia. People do not remember the many movements from 400 or 500 years ago. Maybe a little bit here, English Revolution or whatever. This movement will be written about for 1,000 years. And when the history books are written, it will befuddle historians 600, 700, 800 years from now. Why is it that the people that had so much to lose, the Steve Bannons, the Peter Navarros, the Donald Trumps, they kept on doubling and tripling down? Because full of fortitude and that resolute spirit, we have the chance to influence the arc of history, as the left-winger Hegelians would always say. The arc of history always bends towards justice. How about this? The arc of history will bend back towards citizen-led government, not subjects, not slaves. And we will use this dark moment as they cart you off tomorrow, Steve, and put you in handcuffs, and we say goodbye for 123 days. For 123 days, I will work harder than I ever have my entire life. This is repulsive. This is disgusting. It is outrageous. And it is a call to action for every citizen watching right now to do more. You are not doing enough. I am not doing enough. Because one of our on-field commanders is getting taken off for 123 days. What are we going to do about it?
So obviously that was from a little while ago, but... I feel guilty. I didn't appreciate Charlie Kirk as much as I should have in life. Now, I have an interesting development before we go out to other phone calls, but I guess in that interview that we just played of Netanyahu being asked about whether he killed Charlie Kirk, he references a letter. Netanyahu says he spoke to Charlie Kirk by phone a few weeks ago, which I guess he invited Kirk to Israel, but he didn't end up going. At the time he was setting up a trip to Israel, he reads from a letter Kirk wrote in May, which reads, "One of my greatest joys as a Christian is advocating for Israel and forming alliances to defend Judeo-Christian civilization." But then we've got an update because Candace Owens, who was pretty much best friends with Charlie Kirk, just published this. Bibi Netanyahu lied about the contents of the letter Charlie wrote to him in May. "It was a lie by severe omission, and it isn't sitting right with me. He held the letter in his hand and propagandized it. He should publish the entire thing." So that's interesting. So apparently Candace Owens knew the content of the letter. Apparently Charlie Kirk wrote a letter to Bibi Netanyahu in May. Candace Owens is aware of the content. Bibi Netanyahu claims the contents say Charlie Kirk was just diffusively overflowing with his love of Israel. And Candace Owens says, that's not what the letter said, BB. Maybe you should publish the whole thing. Let people see what it said. Again, it's very weird that it's like you would never have expected this, but more and more evidence seems to be piling up that maybe there's something to the whole Israel did it thing. I would like to see what's in that letter. With that, we go out to your calls. Anthony in Missouri. I want to talk about your kids' reactions to the... Charlie Kirk shooting. Go ahead, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Harrison. You're doing a great job, man. Appreciate all the work.
Thank you.
My biggest concern right now, or not biggest concern, but something that hasn't been talked about much in this blowback of the shooting, all the kids scrolling social media during school, after school, in the evening, hanging out with their family, and seeing a guy get his neck blown out. We really need to talk to our kids. I grew up in a time where don't talk politics, don't talk religion. That's done. We can't do that anymore. These kids are seeing a guy get his neck blown out on the internet over and over. And it's up to moms and dads to talk to them about it and help them through that. That's a lot for a kid to see.
Absolutely. I'm lucky enough that my kids are still young enough that they don't know what the hell's going on in the world, but I'm not looking forward to having to explain this type of stuff.
Well, and that's the same with me. I'm hanging out with my 5-year-old daughter right now, and, you know, she's too early for that, but, you know, a 12, 13-year-old kid scrolling social media, and that's what they have to see. Like, moms and dads, we're going to have to talk to our kids. There's no hiding from it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and helping to put it in context. And, you know, there's something I've been meaning to mention this for a while, because I was talking to my sister who recently graduated from medical school at UT, and she was talking about, and it's, you know, it's a very diverse class, right? It's, there's basically, I mean, it looked like an advertisement, right? It's literally like they've got like one of every race. It's like, you know, it's like, it's completely diverse, totally different backgrounds, totally different religions, totally different everything. They all had one thing in common. Every single person that graduates from a high level medical school, they all share one characteristic, and said they have a very large and very involved family. It's like, it's impossible to achieve things without a family. And it's like, if you want to find one aspect of a person that almost guarantees success, it's that you have a family that you're involved in with, that can help you, that can, you know, do things for you if you're busy. I mean, it's invaluable, the influence of family. And I think now is a time when you're exactly right. You need to be, you know, talking to your kids and helping to explain this and helping to put them in context, helping them to put it in context, what they're witnessing and what's brought it about. Because if you're not explaining it, somebody else is, and they're probably lying to your kid. So you got to tell them the truth to fortify them against the insane lies they're going to be confronted with every single day of their life from now on. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Let's go to Rachel in Texas now. Rachel, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I just was thinking about, you mentioned that we have this future stolen from us of what Charlie could have done, and his being president would have been so amazing. But I don't know if you've heard of Pastor Mark Driscoll in Arizona. They were friends, and he put up a video. It might have been the same day, talking about how Charlie had expressed to him his wish and his intention to go into full-time ministry and evangelism. So imagine what everything he's done for conservatism, but then winning souls for Christ. So I just pray that so many people will rise up and take up that mantle. And even like you said, people looking at videos now and making those decisions. So I just would like to just pray with everyone that would be the case, that his legacy would be more souls for the kingdom and more families that are living for Christ. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. I completely agree with you. And look, he may have become a minister and done great work in that regard, but I think he's brought more people to Christ that, you know, through TPUSA than probably any other, you know, person short of, I don't know, the Pope. It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy what he was able to accomplish. Again, I'm just in awe of it. And something you take for granted when it's here. Just brutal. Thank you so much for the call, Rachel. I want to go to one more video here. It's a short one. And it's the type of thing I typically wouldn't play. I think it's kind of creepy when, you know, earlier this year, I think it was Jim Acosta or somebody, like, interviewed us, one of the victims of a mass shooting through AI. And they're like, would you like gun control? And this AI machine saying yes. You know, this whole thing's kind of sick, but in a way, the way it was used here, and we'll go to the video, AI was asked what Charlie Kirk would be saying right now. And as much as I don't think AI should necessarily be used this way, it is sort of a beautiful message that it sends, and I think it's probably exactly right about what Charlie Kirk would have said. Let's go now to clip number 31. This is
First,
AI.
I want you to know I'm fine, not because my body is fine, but because my soul is secure in Christ. Death is not the end. It's a promotion. Don't waste one second mourning me. I knew the risks of standing up in this cultural moment, and I'd do it all over again. Second, do not let this violence divide us further. The enemy wants chaos, fear, and retaliation. Don't give it to them. Instead, double down on truth. Double down on courage. Double down on your faith and on your families. That is how you honor me. Third, remember this. America is worth it. Free speech is worth it. Fighting for the unborn, for families, for sanity in a culture gone mad, it is all worth it. So dry your tears, pick up your cross, and get back in the fight. Do it with joy. Do it with strength. And never, ever let evil think it won.
You know, again, as much as I typically wouldn't like it, if you can leave a legacy so clear cut, I think everybody would agree. That sounds exactly like Charlie Kirk. I think that's exactly what he would have said. And I think when you have a sort of message that sort of concrete and powerful and solidified, right? It's just like, this is what he believed. This is the message that he put. And it's almost like you can already know what he would have said because he was so grounded in that, in those principles. I think that's very impressive. Let's go to one more call here. Craig in Ohio on line 11. Thank you for calling in on Charlie Kirk and how this affects the globe at large. Thanks for calling in, Craig. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. This is Craig, the hedge fund guy from Ohio. And I haven't talked to you in a little while, but great work you guys are doing. And sorry about everything with Owen. But moving on here, the markets tell us a lot. And, you know, this can sound a little bit crazy, but, you know, this is what I do. And I've done this for, you know, 120,000 hours of my life. And there's a lot more going on in markets than people think, right? 8 billion people connected by fear, greed, supply, demand, government.
So what's happening? I'm sorry, we don't have much time, Craig. I don't want to run into the break here.
Well, so what I want to say is that, you know, the way Charlie was killed, okay, was shocking to the conscience, right? We have Minnesota, we have the Ukraine girl, right? All that kind of stuff. This raises the bar away from complacency, okay, on that. Okay, but it puts more complacency back on the economics of things. Okay, so let me explain this. This is whether this is intentional or this is like natural. Okay, there's a magic trick being played here where we look up here and we get away from the fact that there's war building. I mean, the world's awash in debt.
Right.
We could find in 3 weeks from now that there's 250,000 troops stationed on the border of Russia.
Right.
Okay, and the whole time we're watching this. I know.
It's hard to know, you know, what's a distraction and what's not. It's like what I was saying, I mean, what's happening in Nepal is crazy. What's happening in the EU is crazy. What's happening in Israel is crazy as they continue, you know, their march into Gaza. Everything is insane. I do feel like we've sort of slammed the brakes on all that to talk about Charlie Kirk, but obviously at a time like this, it requires this just to, because things could really spiral out of control quickly, and we want to try to avoid that and keep our hand on the tiller and the wind in the sails and just keep moving forward and all of this. This is going to be it for me on American Journal. I'll be on the War Room on Monday afternoon, but tune in Monday morning to see our new host for the American Journal. I think you'll be very happy with the changes that are being made. And again, thank you to this crew, to this audience. It's a bittersweet thing for me, but I will be doing the War Room from now on, so I'll see you Monday afternoon, folks. Stay tuned. Alex Jones, 90 seconds.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got war bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it. for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time, get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our monthly blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.